gardening,
countryside and the great outdoors
with Stephen Lowe on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Good morning, how are you? I do hope that you are very, very well today. We are live on a farm with a difference at Brownhill in Blackburn. The sun, well, it's doing its best. It promises to be a bit of a brisk Sunday. Why not join us in the great outdoors at Lancashire? Absolutely fantastic way to start the show. Frieda Payne and Band of Gold here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Coming up this week on Lancashire Outdoors. Well, we're going to look into the growing problem of, wait for it, fly grazing. And that's not anything to do with snacking flying things. No, more on that to come in a little bit. And we're looking for your help, especially if you're a sheep farmer, with research into a plant that's causing a problem to lambs. We're going to have our new monthly feature about allotments from our National Allotment Society, plus all our regular features. I'm laughing because there's two pygmy goats battering the radio van as we speak. Jackie is going apoplectic. Anyway, coming up, all our regular features, including the farming news, the stars with Shelley, the inside information from the fruit and veg trade, and of course that all-important long-range weather forecast. All that, plus we're here at a care farm at Brownhill Farm in Blackburn. Find out what that is all about all through the programme. That's all that's coming up in this hour of Lancashire Outdoors. Yet not your average farm today. We're not on your average farm. We've come along to a farm with a difference here at Brownhill. It doesn't grow crops, and although it does have a small selection of animals, it's not the main business. So what do they do? Well, the best person to answer that will be owner, Tony Mills. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm really good. It's quite funny watching Jackie run sprint across the farmyard to stop the goats from destroying the van.
That's it, and later on when they start nibbling a coat, I'm sure we'll get some speed out of her there as well. So.
We'll get some good copy. And they're looking at us now as if to say, what, us? Us?
The innocent bystanders, aren't they, just standing there looking at us?
A farm with a difference, I said there in the introduction, Tony. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, where we are in the world, because I've probably driven past on the main roads, well, every day since. I'm looking behind, the church behind you has the Red Cross on top, which when, before the M65 was built, we were coming back from the seaside, that's when God was in his house there, we were nearly home, back in Accrington.
The red neon one, yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of a sign, isn't it? You do sort of see mysteriously at night, shining away, peculiar looking. Yeah, we're at Brownhill area of Blackburn, which is, and we're at Brownhill Farm. We've been here for a few hundred years, but this particular business has been here just for 1 year. What we are is a care farm. What that means is the guys who come up have got special needs, mental health issues, etc. And what we're doing is following sort of occupational therapy. As we're out and about, we're doing our horses and animals and the goats, as you just saw there. And what we're doing is getting these guys with much more of a direction and much more sort of fun in their lives, really. And also we're working together. We're doing their social needs. So a lot of these guys tend to be fairly isolated after school, etc. They've started being at home or in other homes, you know, with parents, etc. And that can be isolating, and there's not a lot to do. Then suddenly you've got guys with mental health issues from that, depression, anxiety, etc., because they're bored and they're physically able and want to do things. So we've been going a year really to provide an area where people can actually come up and do something for real, rather than just say making cards or you know, reading the newspaper or making cups of tea places. These guys want to be outside and about, so we're out in all weathers looking after the animals and doing things. We have Alex here and her mum Jennifer as well. So
we'll be back with you in a moment. So we've got Alex and her mum here. Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
Now, what, you're farming?
Yeah.
Why do you do farming? Why do you like farming?
It's my favourite, and I love the horses. I love Monica.
What kind of horse is Monica? Do we know what kind of
Friesian?
A Friesian. Oh, that's the. She's a big girl, isn't she? I've seen her as I walked around the farm. How often do you come up then and see Monica?
Monday and Thursday.
You come up then, and do you look forward to Mondays and Thursdays?
Yeah.
And working outdoors, it's not the warmest of jobs, is it? You get wrapped up, but do you come whatever the weather?
Yeah.
And being outside, that for you is that something that's important?
Yeah.
And does your mum glad when you're out under her feet?
Yes.
Do we have a word with your mum?
Yeah.
So you get up here to the farm quite regularly then?
Yes, Dad usually brings her twice a week, Monday, Thursday. And obviously Alexandra has special needs. And
well, we got to stop it then. Is that for the goats or is that for your mum calling you Alexandra?
It's for the goats.
The goats are chewing on you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very hungry. They're having my cut now.
Only Aaron can handle the goats.
Is that right? Oh, we better get him down. We better get him down. So we're talking about special needs then?
Yes,
Alexander.
I've just given his Sunday name.
Yes. Well, it is Sunday, isn't it? It is Sunday.
She had some mental health issues. But since she's been coming to the farm, the difference in her is unbelievable. Much more confidence. It's given her a feeling of self-worth. She's up at the crack of dawn. Even if she's not well, she comes. And the difference in her is unbelievable.
So tell me a bit about what life was like before coming up here to Brownhill.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. She got to a very, very low state. We were concerned at one point that she could be hospitalised. But this has really fit her needs. And I can't praise Tony enough. I know when she comes here, I don't even think about it. This sounds awful, but I know all day she's safe, she's doing what she wants to do. And I mean, I'm an older parent, so
you're looking very well on it.
Oh, I wish. I've also had heart surgery recently, so knowing that she was coming here for those 2 days was such a big relief for me.
Must be difficult, and we've come across this so many times on the station where we've talked about mental health provision in the county, and how when you go through school as a youngster and then possibly college, there's a massive support and care network around you, and then as soon as you're 18, 19, there's kind of a door and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, there's card making, there's baking, small courses, but it's not what they want to do. Looking after the animals is giving them responsibility. As I say, it's giving them a purpose in life. Card making, and that's nice as a hobby, but this is about learning, maturing, developing and building confidence.
Building that relationship up with the animals together.
Absolutely, absolutely. She's a different person. Can't believe it.
Absolute wonderful start to this week's edition of Lancashire Outdoors. Thank you very much.
We just want to say thank you to Tony, because it's 12 months next month that Alex has been coming. And as I said, the difference physically as well, not just mentally, physically. It's got him moving, it's got him activated, and yeah, can't say enough about it.
Brilliant all round.
Absolutely.
You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire. You probably know Brownhill for a roundabout, not too far away from here. Well, as I look, it doesn't appear to be too congested. Let's find out how the rest of the roads are coping across the county today. It's 11:15.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Traffic seems to be moving quite nicely on the motorways this morning. It's a little bit of slow traffic on the A6 Garstang Road as its junction with Lytham Road heading in towards Preston. Other than that, things are looking quite good across the county. On the public transport and the First Trans Pennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lake District. Likewise with the Virgin trains between Preston and Carlisle as well. It's overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lake District that are causing problems there as well. And just a reminder of those roadworks in Oral for the rest of today. It's temporary traffic lights that are in place on Oral Road while they do electricity works in both directions at the M58. But if you'd like to update us, give us a call if it's safe and legal to do so on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
Check out the motorway cameras
at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
Hello, this is Stephen Law, and I've got an invitation for you. This summer, we're looking for a project to clean up and transform a little pocket of land near you that's fallen into disrepair. A community space that needs improvement. It could be a playground, a garden, maybe a space for a community allotment. If you know of a deserving pocket of land that needs our attention, call the BBC Radio Lancashire Help Desk on 0345 305 9000 for more details. It's your chance to benefit from our Radio Lancashire Garden Project for 2013. Brought to you by the BBC, working in with the RHS for your community. Cracking response that we're getting already for our little hidden corner here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Promises to be a cracking experience this summer for all of you, somewhere across the county. Thank you very much already if you've got across. We're here with Carol Barnes at Brownhill Farm. Carol, tell me a little bit about your role here at the farm.
Well, I have a son who comes here during the day to give him something to do. And I also am a special needs teacher, so I bring a group of boys up to volunteer to help look after the animals one day a week, part of their Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Fantastic. I remember those days myself. I was stuck in a police station in Accrington. They get to come up here to a farm.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be quite fun. They quite enjoy it. We collect eggs and help look after some of the... We've got some rescued animals, so people have given us like a guinea pig that they didn't want and a rabbit, and we've ended up with some goats, so we come up and help out, look after them.
And what's happening now, Carol? What's Tony up to now?
Well, he's going to bring one of the horses out, and then we can clean out one of the stables. So
we've got a bit of mucking out going on. Who've we got here then? Who's Tony fetching down for us?
Tony's bringing out Aries, and he's a Highland. He's a two-year-old Highland pony.
Alex is fetching the pony down now.
Alex is giving him a hand, yeah. So,
Oh, what a nice... This is Aries. Hello, Aries. He's a very placid chap, isn't he?
He is a very placid chap. We've had him since he was 6 months old, and we have got his half-brother as well.
He's got a pink thing round his head, Tony. What's going on?
He's got a bit of a long face today, so I thought I'd try and cheer him up.
All right, yeah, a bit of a long face, I tell you. You leave the gags to Ted Robbins during the week. Thank you very much. Do we ride the horses here, then? Is it riding, or do we just looking after?
No, they don't. We just do looking after. You have to have special licences to do riding lessons and things, so they just look after the horses, and I ride. the horses, yeah.
You ride, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very nice. So that all fits in really well as Ares is getting led over there to the other stable. Tell me, we heard from Alex's mother earlier about just how important it is to get out and about. With your son, in terms of just energy levels, getting rid of some excess energy, is that important?
It is. He needs to be out and doing different activities. And it's also about communication. So instead of just, there's nothing wrong in having a game of bowling, is it? But it's how you communicate with people. So it gives him lots of active chance to speak to people and follow instructions. And so he seems to quite enjoy it, really, once he gets into it, really.
And what's his favourite bits down here then on the farm?
Carl, he likes doing the hay nets. He just gets on and does the hay nets, but he will muck out and do the
mucky jobs as well.
He does the mucky jobs as well. Yeah.
He talks about getting a guinea pig, and there is some small rabbits and such like here. I'm guessing that if somebody's coming for the first time up to the farm, that there needs to be some sort of progression before we go, here's a horse to look after. There needs to be a kind of, starting maybe with the smaller animals and learning that kind of bond that you get.
It depends. Like, Alex loves the horses, so she likes to do the things with the horses. Aaron loves the goats. He kind of in charge of the goats. So it depends what people like to do. You know, we're encouraged to do a range of activities, but they're also, it depends what their interests are. I mean, they wouldn't be made to mess with the horses if they really hated it, and
They get a choice. That's a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, they're encouraged to try different things, but really it is about choice as much as trying new things. So
you mentioned bowling there, and we've heard about card making and all those kind of indoor things. Just how important is it for the young adults that are here to get some fresh air in the lungs, to be out and about?
I think people generally don't get out enough nowadays. I think it's been proven, hasn't it? People don't go outside like they used to, and it's good to get out and get some fresh air, isn't it? And do some activities. We're all, you know, a lot of people need a bit more exercise in their lives, don't they?
Don't like the way you're looking at me there, by the way. It is the Green Gym. It is the Green Gym, indeed. And everybody's wandering around with a smile on their face. There was a bit of snow yesterday, which didn't make me smile very much. And we will hopefully be getting our long-range weather forecast coming up shortly. That's the plan. If we'd have a tune first, we'll have a wander around the farm. Carol, you show me around, we'll have John Mellencamp and Jack and Diane.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane, two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star, Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dog outside taste freeze, Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between the knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees, dribble off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, long after the thrill of living is gone, to walk on. Checks his back, flexes his thoughts for the moment, scratches his head and does his best James Dean. Well, then there Diane gotta run off to city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. But Jack say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Oh yeah, I say life goes on long after
gone. So let it rock, let it roll. Let the Bible belt come and save my soul. Hold on to 16 as long as you can. Changes come around real soon, make us women. Jack and Diane, two American kids doing best they can.
Cracking that. John Mellencamp here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Tina Turner and Brian Ferry, just two of the artists to come in the next hour or so. Now, let's give you a quick update on the weather for the next coming 5 days. Today, we're looking at some brighter sunny spells developed from the west, but overall rather cloudy and cold. Perhaps a few isolated snow flurries, mainly in the east of the county near Nelson and Accrington, with light northeasterly winds, about 4 degrees maximum temperature today, and I'm feeling every one of them degrees. Tonight, largely dry for the most part, cloudy with perhaps more of those snow flurries. Clear intervals may develop, leading to a hard frost. It's keeping dry, though, isn't it? It is keeping dry. And on Monday, cloudy again, but essentially dry, remaining cold, with a small chance of a few flakes of snow on that northeasterly breeze. It's balmy, positively balmy on Monday, 5 degrees, 1 degree of it. Outlook from Tuesday to Thursday, remaining cold and dry. Clouds should break to allow sunny spells by midweek. Clear spells and light winds will lead to a risk of sharp overnight frosts and fog. But, you know, I can live with that, because it's February, and cold and frost is what we get, as long as it stays dry. Now, time to let you know what's happening in the great outdoors of Lancashire today.
Loving events in the Red Rose County
on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Now, Lytham Hall will once again be hosting its annual snowdrop walks today. Parking in the grounds for disabled drivers only, please. Other vehicles may park in the Aeon car park adjacent to the mill gates. There's a goat eating my coat as we speak. Jackie, could you do us a favour? Could you retrieve them big lumps of my coat from that goat? They do ask us to let you know at Lytham Hall that midweek guided tours, groups are welcome midweek, groups of 15 or £5 a person, lunches and light refreshments are available from the tea rooms. That's the snowdrop walks today between 11 and 2. Now, Curdon Birds of Prey are going to be displaying a large selection of their birds of prey and owls. Jackie, you're letting it eat your wires. The goat's eating your wires, Jackie. They're going to be... Should we start again with this one? Curdon Birds of Prey will be on display at Brockholes today. There's also going to be a lot happening at Brockholes, lots of activities for all ages. And while we're mentioning Curdon Valley, let's not forget that it's Curdon Valley Farmers Market taking place today. More farmers markets in a minute. But if you have an interest in horses, then we've got news of an equine bonanza show today. We'll be telling you about that just after 12 o'clock. And adding to that farmers market at Curdon, there's also at Turton Tower today, the farmers market taking place there. That's on from every fourth Sunday of the month between 10 and 2. Don't forget, if you're going down to Curdon Valley, that it's not just about the farmers market there. You can have a stroll around the outside and enjoy a bit of this brisk February weather. It's only a few weeks away from Mother's Day, and if you're anything like me, you'll be scratching your head and wondering what to buy the mother who has everything. Well, if you're looking for a few ideas, why not pop up try to pop along to a pop-up craft fair, which has just got underway in Leyland. It's an idea that the actual goat is eating our paperwork now. It's chewing my notes as we speak. It's an idea that's come from a local art group in the Leyland area, and Anita Harrison, who is a member and organiser of this event. And I believe we've got Anita and Judith with us on the phone. How are we doing, ladies?
Hello, doing okay. Hi. Fine, thank you.
We've just been attacked by goats. I don't feel very much, because they're pygmy goats. So they're not like great big huge mammoth goats. They're about a foot and a half tall.
Well, you must be tasty.
They're both randy and aggressive in equal measure. We're moving along. Tell us a bit about the group, first of all, Anita.
Well, it's a mixed group. Some of them are from a group at Farrington Crafters. And then there's three ladies who just regularly do craft fairs. So we've got a good mixture today.
And is this the first event that you've done?
Yeah, we did one at Christmas, actually. We tied one in with Father Christmas arriving. So this is the second one we've done. And we've just added to it. We've got a few more stalls here today.
Cracking. What kind of stalls, then? What have we got to tempt folk along to get something for the mum that has everything?
Oh, we've got all sorts. We've got a lady selling bath bombs. The shop smells gorgeous today. She's got some lovely bath bombs and cakes. They look like cakes, but they're not. They're in the bath. And little cups with candles in. We've got ladies selling knitted scarves, knitted hats and jewellery. And Judith's got all things vintage, some nice corsages.
Well, let's cross over to Judith if we can. And Anita, I'm dying to ask you, what I should be doing with my hardy perennials? You do sound like your sister Diana, very much so. sorry about that. Good luck with that. Judith, then tell us about what you've got on your stall.
Oh, all sorts. Vintage style cushions, jewellery, corsage. And scarves and bags. And a lot of them are made for recycled vintage fabrics and old lace to try and keep the theme.
Fantastic.
So it's a good bit of recycling as well as being quite trendy.
I'm going to say, on trend, recycling and doing your bit for your mum, all in one. Where are you? And when are you here there till?
Till about 3 o'clock, hopefully. But if there's a lot of people here, we might stay till 4.
And where are you in the world?
Sorry?
Where are you in the world?
I'm from Eccleston.
No. Today, where's the pop-up event? I'm from Eccleston.
Oh, you knew.
What is the listeners we need to tell?
Right, the garden centre, Avant Garden in Leyland on the A49.
Fantastic. Anita, Judith, the best of luck with that. Fingers crossed you get lots of people turning up today.
Thank you.
Cracking. It's the first time we've had double header there on the... And that's your guide to events taking place in the county today.
To get your event on the guide,
write to BBC Radio Lancashire, Darwin Street, Blackburn. BB2 2EA.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Nothing short of pandemonium breaking out here at Brownhill Farm as the goats are either attacking, eating or getting amorous with just about everything in the farmyard. Let's cross over to marvellous Mike West now with the 11:30 news headlines.
Thanks, Stephen. The most senior Roman Catholic clergyman in Britain has denied allegations of inappropriate behaviour by three priests and a former priest. Cardinal Keith O'Brien, who's leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, is taking legal advice about the claims, which date back to the 1980s. The Bishop of Lancaster has thrown his support behind a national campaign to persuade consumers to buy locally produced British products in the wake of the horsemeat scandal. A Blackpool man who recently visited India's impoverished Dalit communities says the publicity surrounding David Cameron's recent visit to the country didn't reflect the true nature of suffering there. Steve Haskett's about to embark on a coast-to-coast walk and cycle to raise money for humanitarian projects in India. Doctors from overseas who want to work in the NHS in England will soon have to prove they can speak proficient English. The Bishop of Burnley is urging everyone in Lancashire to buy a real Easter egg this year. They're a fair trade product, guaranteeing a fair price for farmers in the developing world, and also feature the Christian message of Easter on the box. And the man who designed the Daleks for the BBC, Ray Cusick, has died at the age of 84. The weather's going to continue mostly cloudy and cold, dry except for some light snow flurries. Top temperature only 4 Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. More on the website for you at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
You're listening to Lancashire Outdoors. talking all things countryside here on BBC Radio Lancashire. Coming up shortly on the programme, we'll be hearing about the growing problem of fly grazing. Plus, we've got music on the way from Tina Turner and Brian Ferry. And don't forget, we want to hear from you if there's a small patch of land in your community that has fallen into disrepair. A community space that could be a playground, a garden, maybe even a community allotment. If you know of a deserving piece of land, then let us know about it. Give us a call here on the BBC Radio Lancashire Help Desk, 0345 305 9000 for more details. Don't miss your chance to nominate your community space for our BBC Radio Lancashire's Garden Project 2013, brought to you by the BBC in conjunction with the RHS.
Let me say the same, baby, since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever is all I need. Let me be the one you come running to.
Tina Turner here at BBC Radio Lancashire. It's a proper nice February day here on Lancashire Outdoors.
Gardening and life outdoors
with Stephen Lowe
on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Yes, we are live at, well, a farm with a very special purpose, a care farm here at Brownhill Farm in Blackburn, not too far from the centre of Blackburn, really, on the road out to Preston. And we've been talking about how the farm is working with adults with special needs, getting them out, teaching them countryside skills. Much more to come on that in the next hour or so on the programme. Now, you may recall on last week on the programme, we looked into how cow passports work. You may not be aware that horses also have passports. However, these regulations are not working, according to the NFU, with alarming increases in fly grazing and horses being dumped. The NFU's Chief Rural Affairs Advisor, David Collier, joins us to tell us more. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Is it because of the horse meat scandal that this has come right to the forefront?
Well, it's a bit of, it seems to be coincidence. We started our work on this last summer. The NFU National Council said, look, we're getting reports in from all over the country of these horses being abandoned in farmers' fields and then collected sometime later and taken off to market. And it's only within the last month or so that people have suddenly started talking about horse meat finding its way into processed food where it shouldn't be. Now, we don't know for sure that there's a strong link, but we can't help thinking that if you've got a lot of horses being abandoned in fields, later collected, they're going off to market, some of those are going across borders and into abattoirs with forged passports. We know that the passport system is flawed, and lots of people who are far closer to that system than we are have said, look, you know, it really isn't working, it's an absolute shambles, and it doesn't prevent horses getting into the food chain with veterinary residues still in the flesh, and you know, that is precisely why the European directive was introduced a few years ago and why we have the horse passport regulations dating back 3 years.
So they're in a shambolic state. We can't say whether or not that's been a huge contributory factor into horse meat getting into the chain. That's one whole side of the debate at the minute. Now, the other side is this fly grazing, which, if I'm being honest, 3 weeks ago I came across this and I thought, is this true? What is it? How's it manifest itself, this fly grazing, across our countryside?
Yes, well, I do remember a conversation with a police officer, quite a senior one, who said, I really thought when you first mentioned that it was something to do with insects. Well, it actually is a pretty serious problem because we've got something like 6% of our members, so that's something like 3,000 of our members have been affected by this in the last few years. And of the ones who report it, something like 4 out of 10 are having repeat cases, and as many as 5-6 times a year this is happening to them. And, you know, they're having to put up with it, sometimes for days, sometimes weeks, and other times for months and even years in extreme cases.
So fly grazing is literally grazing on the fly. People are dropping horses into fields and then scarpering, and the farmer's left there with somebody else's horse on the land. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And clearly they can't simply force the horses out onto the public highway. That would be irresponsible. So they need to try to find the owner, try to get the owner to take the horses away. Sometimes the owners can be pretty abusive and make threats of violence or arson, so they can be pretty unpleasant characters. And the farmer then has to look for other ways of dealing with the problem. Now, some have used court procedures. Some have used the Animals Act 1971, which means putting up with the horses for 14 days after you've put a notice in the field, and then you're able to seize them and take them to market. But that's where the passport regulations become a problem, because in order to sell the horse, you have to have a passport, and you have to have it microchipped. And that can cost you something in the region of £450 or £500 per animal, when you could be getting as little as £10 per animal when you sell it in the market. So, you know, clearly it's a pretty expensive way of dealing with the problem.
I'm just a bit in shock. that somebody would dump some horses. Obviously, kind of reading between the lines that these are pet horses, David.
Well, we wonder, because people have said, you know, that this might be Jemima's pony that's got a bit too expensive to keep, and so they've made a kind donation to a local farmer, just left it in the field and hope that somebody will look after it. But when we consulted local authority, gypsy and traveller liaison officers up and down the country, they said, well, no, actually, it's almost entirely a problem of travellers leaving their horses on farmland and then collecting them later. It's not people abandoning pets.
So it's not pet horses then that we're looking at. And I'm guessing that this is where maybe if we had some sort of tagging system on the ears similar to cattle or on another part of the body, we could get instant notification of who the animal belongs to, that then this problem could be kind of eradicated.
Well, what we could be talking about is simply a better use of the existing system, because you have to have a horse microchipped, and that ought to be enough to tell somebody who scans it, you know, precisely whose horse it is, where it's come from. Those regulations need to be properly enforced. The passport regulations, well, talking to the horse bodies, you know, they tell us, well, there's something like 75 breed societies that are able to issue the passports. And one described passports that they'd seen as something, you know, their own children might have done a better job. So in some cases, these breed societies are not doing a particularly good job, and somehow that needs to be tightened up. DEFRA do need to get a grip on it.
Finally, David, and I do appreciate you joining us today here at BBC Radio Lancashire, what advice would you have to any farmers here in the county who may be come across, well, some new unwelcome recruits to the farm in the fields? If they get any horses dumped, what would you say the first course of action should be?
Well, get some advice. I mean, they can get advice from the NFU. They can talk to the local authority and start with the gypsy liaison officer, because they can be pretty helpful. They could also talk to the police. And although we found that some police forces are not particularly helpful, 6 out of 10 of the farmers who reported offences to the police said that they were unhelpful, others are pretty good. I mean, just last week I was talking to somebody from Cumbria Police, and they said that they'd have problems in the area around Appleby Horse Fair. And 3 or 4 years ago, they started treating it as criminal damage. And that's pretty well eradicated the problem. So, you know, some police can be very helpful indeed, and they can find ways of dealing with the problem.
Thank you very much for joining us today, David. We'll keep a close eye on that story across the county and beyond. And thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire. It's Lancashire Outdoors with me, Stephen Law. Let's find out how the roads are coping across the county.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Well, traffic's looking really good across the county this morning. No accidents or incidents or even any traffic at all to mention on the motorways or the roads. On the public transport, though, on the First TransPennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lake District. And on the Virgin trains, we've got delays of up to half an hour between these destinations as well. Just to remind you, though, on the roads of those roadworks in Burnley that may slow you down, it's Trafalgar Street that's closed because of roadworks at Westgate, and then in Oral, temporary traffic lights on Oral Road while they do electricity work in both directions at the M58 until around 3:30 this afternoon. But if you spot any other problems on the roads, call in if it's safe and legal to do so on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
More in 30 minutes.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
For the very best in country music, join me, Helen Randall, on Sunday afternoons at 2. From Lady Antebellum, right through to the Zac Brown Band.
As she's walking away.
And everything in between. Choose your favourite tracks and artists in the A to Z of country from across the years. It's a little bit of country for the county. Every Sunday from 2 on BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC Radio Lancashire live on the farm, a care farm. Farm with a difference here at Brown Hill Farm in Blackburn. We've just been hearing there from David Collier from the NFU, his Chief Rural Affairs Advisor, about this problem of fly grazing. We've still got Tony and Carol with us. Both keen on your horses, aren't you? It's not something you could think of. Is it dropping your horse off in a field and then clearing off?
No, I would imagine it's not. They're not ponies that have been dropped off, as it is ponies that they, you know, just trying to make some money on, that they don't want to pay a livery yard or grazing for. They just want to earn a bit of money pretty quick, so they just leave them, don't they?
Tony, you've been donated a few animals here, these goats. I can't think why anyone would want to give these lovely goats away. What about horses? Do people come up to you with horses saying we can't afford the keep, or do you get horses turning up in fields that don't belong to anyone in particular?
We've not had that. We have had the local police a couple of years ago sort of gave us a couple of horses temporarily because they found them in the fields. They'd escaped. No one's ever really. If the horse has got a value, I can't imagine people just be dumping it. As Carol was saying, it's probably horses of a lower quality, or, you know, had sort of not perhaps a lot of life in them as an older horses. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's probably what's happening quite often. Obviously, horses are older, more medical conditions, more costs, therefore people might be dumping them there. I mean, we know off the Exmoor ponies and all those, they do get carted off and removed from the moors because of what they do to the environment. But these aren't those sort of horses. These are perhaps been bred locally and then just left for some crazy reason. If there's no value in them, that's why they've been dumped. And I suppose if people can't afford them to sort of use yards or hire a bit of land, then this is what's happening. But it's not something we've experienced here because of where we are, but I'm sure it's obviously is happening, isn't it, in the area?
And you've had lots of other things donated. You're not a rescue centre, no, as such, are you? But I guess if people turn up with, you kind of have a look and...
Oh, please don't turn up with 200 goats. I mean, obviously, no, so we've got goats here, pygmy goats, chicken and ducks. We've bought these for the facilities here, really. So, but like I said, the goats were donated because the person couldn't sort of handle them, really. But we wouldn't really want people to donate animals randomly. We've got the rabbit and guinea pig. They were donated by a person who was up here for a while and then could no longer really handle them. So that's a person with special needs. But we're not really a rescue centre. That should go to the right place for that. Please don't give me 200 cats. That would be quite depressing.
That wouldn't be good at all. Wouldn't be good at all. We've got lots of the farm to see. We haven't been round all of the farm yet. We're going to have a wander up and around the back and see where the goats should be living when they're not. Are you all right, Jackie?
I've had fun with the goats. I haven't got a handbag left. I think I'm going to have to claim for a new handbag.
Is there a way we can claim? I know they've chowed a heck out of me at the moment. They're enjoying...
It's very clean. Have you noticed the radio van's very clean?
I presume they're licking the salt off the back of the...
We'll just leave it even, though. We've obviously given you a free... clean van, and so your handbag would be fine.
Yeah, it's a fair swap, is that? A fair swap. Well, as we're out and about looking skywards at the minute, it's, there is a little bit of snow about in the air, and a lot of cloud. Not very good for stars at the moment. But let's cross over live to the studio now for our very best in Shelley Stars.
Well, good morning, Stephen and Jackie. I'm not too worried about the clouds at the moment because actually we're looking at things that might be coming underneath them.
Yeah, and Stephen, did you hear about the meteors and the one that was unexpected?
The one in Russia?
That's the one.
It was fantastic, but...
Go on.
Was it some sci-fi buffs who made it themselves, or was it real?
Well, as we know, 50 years ago, the internet was science fiction, so surprisingly, a lot of science fiction is based on fact. And so it is a hazard. It's a very, very small chance, but that hazard has always been there, Stephen.
So it was real?
Oh, absolutely.
It was most definitely real.
See, I was thinking, you know...
Did you not believe it?
I didn't.
Really?
Yeah, really. It looked too good, didn't it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, it didn't look too good if it were your farm that it smashed into and set it on fire, but...
This is it. I mean, the damage that it actually caused was quite surprising.
Most of the damage came from the sonic boom rather than actually the object impacting onto the Earth's surface. The traces that have been found are absolutely tiny. But as the meteor fragmented as it came into the denser layers of the atmosphere, and everybody, of course, had rushed to the windows, or they were sat in cars commuting, so all the glass shattered, and that's what's caused most of the injuries.
So, in terms of... I did read a piece that said that there were people travelling from all around the world to go and get pieces of this meteorite to make their fortune. They're going to be struggling.
Yeah, most of the meteorite has burnt up and you know, disintegrated in the upper atmosphere. There have been tiny parts of the meteorite found on the ground. Most of them are smaller than a coin. I think the largest one that's been found so far is about the size of a tennis ball. And, of course, they're scattered across a vast region of sparsely populated Ural Mountains in Russia.
See, David, that's what they want us to believe. They want us to believe that there isn't a huge crater somewhere with a glowing orb the size of three double-decker buses with CIA, MI5, MFI, NHS, everybody all around trying to get into this glowing orb to find out who's inside and what's that strange music playing. Or maybe not. Maybe you're right and I'm just, well, watching too much sci-fi.
I think if somebody did decide to land on the Earth's surface and it was, you know, the fabled little green men, I think they'd plot their approach a bit more carefully so they didn't burn up in the atmosphere, Steve.
You see, you say that. What else can we expect to see this week, then? I've got to admit, I pulled over. I was in Pilling this week. I've got to say a big thank you to the Wyre Farmers Club. I was with them on Tuesday night, and as I was driving back up north from Pilling, I pulled over at the side of the road. Absolutely fantastic sky, because, of course, not much light pollution there, and it was awesome. It was a brilliant night, and we're getting a lot of clear nights, aren't we, for stargazing recently?
Yes, obviously, our usual weather patterns come in and, you know, we do have cloudy nights. But as you say, when we get in a clear night, it is a good still clear night at the moment at this time of year. Because, of course, the ground is still quite cool. So you're not losing a lot of heat and causing a turbulence in the upper atmosphere after sunset.
So, Shelley, what's on the news then? What kind of news have we got from the sky?
It's about meteorites, I'm afraid.
It's all about the stuff falling out of the sky.
I know, yeah, it's all about things that are falling out of the sky. But, I mean, there are, if you wanted to get your binoculars and your telescope and you wanted to, on one of the clear nights that we do actually have, if you want to have a look for the Milky Way.
And so, where do I look for that, then?
Well, the Milky Way, after about 10 p.m, if you look up towards Orion, but go above and to the left of our favourite Betelgeuse in Orion, and look up towards the twins, Castor and Pollux, in Gemini. And if you're in a very dark location, no light pollution, no street lights, then you'll see a faint milky band, and that's where it gets its name from, the Milky Way. Also, if you're out just after sunset, towards the middle and end of the week, very, very low down, just after sunset, in Aquarius, you should be able to start picking up the comet Pan-STARRS, which was discovered about 2 years ago. Now, again, the usual precautions: if you're looking close to the sun, be very, very careful. Obviously, don't look straight at the sun, and especially not with instruments. Mars is going to start moving towards its conjunction soon. Mercury's already past the greatest elongation. That's moving towards inferior conjunction. So that'll be directly between us and the sun on the 4th of March. Full moon, 8:30 tomorrow evening. As it wanes during the week, its path will take it very, very close to Spica. That's Alpha Virginis. And that's on Friday morning at about 7:20. Minimum separation is about 1 degree, so that's about 2 moon diameters. Again, Jupiter very, very high up, so again, keep watching the Great Red Spot. Keep watching those changes that we've noticed in the past.
And is the news about about a moon being named after some Star Trek?
Oh, yes.
Type people. Am I reading the right thing?
Vulcan.
Yes, Pluto is having more and more attention paid to it as the New Horizons spacecraft is approaching. And we originally thought Pluto had one moon in 1978, then we found it had three, and now we found it's got five. So people now are having a vote about what to name the extra two moons. But Vulcan was used in the 60s and 70s, for a hypothetical planet closer than Mercury before we knew what the effect of general relativity was on Mercury's orbit. So a lot of people are thinking Vulcan has this tradition of being a very hot planet, not a cold one. So that's up in the air at the moment, but yes, that's on.
Quite literally.
yeah, very good.
Just going quickly back to our asteroids, meteors, meteorites. There is a Canadian spacecraft which was launched actually just 3 days after this unexpected Russian event, and that's actually designed to track exactly that type of object. That was launched from Sriharikota in India, and it orbits in a polar inclination about 500 miles up.
So hopefully we'll be able to know when the next one comes.
Yeah, unfortunately, the funding's... There's not really been a lot of funding. A lot of people, as you say, have seen it as science fiction and not taken it seriously. Hopefully without scaring
Stephen,
people...
what did you say, Stephen, for?
Obviously, without scaring all the listeners, there is a risk. It's a tiny risk, but the risk is there, and we really ought to be funding the detection for these things. We can't rely on Elijah Woods and Bruce Willis.
Moving on, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much indeed. I'll keep my eyes peeled. You never know.
Do that.
You never know. Thanks, David. Thank you, Shelley.
No thanks problem. A lot, Stephen.
That's Shelley Stars for another fortnight here. And it was rather exciting, wasn't it? Because there's stuff falling down around our ears all over the minute it would appear. And moving along swiftly, it's time for Marvellous Mike West now with the 12 o'clock news.
Loving the Red Rose County.
This is BBC Radio Lancashire.
Coming up in the news, Britain's most senior Roman Catholic clergyman denies allegations of inappropriate behaviour, and the Lancashire bishop urging you to buy a real Easter egg this year. Just after 12 o'clock, I'm Mike West. Hello. The most senior Roman Catholic clergyman in Britain has denied allegations of inappropriate behaviour made by several priests. The claims against Cardinal Keith O'Brien, the leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, are said to date back to the 1980s. The Cardinal is Britain's only representative in the conclave to elect Pope Benedict's successor next month. Now, religious affairs correspondent Robert Piggott says he believes he will take part in the vote at the Vatican, despite the allegations.
The Cardinal has denied the claims and said that he's taking legal advice. Also, it's very difficult to prevent a cardinal from exercising his vote, as we've seen in the past. And in fact, if a cardinal is under 80 and therefore allowed by church law to take part, then really it's very difficult to disqualify him. And so I suspect very strongly that Cardinal O'Brien will go to the conclave.
Meanwhile, Pope Benedict has been delivering his final Sunday morning prayers in St Peter's Square before he steps down on Thursday. More cardinals have begun arriving in Rome to elect his successor. The Bishop of Lancaster is backing a national campaign to persuade consumers to buy locally produced British products in the wake of the horse meat scandal. Bishop Jeff Pearson says Lancashire's farming communities endured many difficulties in recent years and deserves public support. He said buying local produce had become more important than ever following the controversy over horse meat in beef products.
On one level, we want to do all that we can to support farmers. Lately, there's been this uncovering of a breach of trust, really, by suppliers and the whole questions around the food chain, and that's prompted this support, particularly for the Farmers Union and their Buying British campaign.
A Blackpool man who recently visited India's impoverished Dalit communities says the publicity surrounding David Cameron's recent visit to the country didn't reflect the true nature of suffering there. Steve Haskett's about to embark on a coast-to-coast walk and cycle to raise money for humanitarian projects in India. Speaking on BBC Radio Lancashire's Faith programme this morning, he described one of the injustices he saw.
We saw one of India's richest men paying a group of builders £1.20 a day to build luxury apartment blocks that then he was going on to sell for hundreds of thousands of pounds. I think there's been a lot of rhetoric out there at the moment with Mr. Cameron being out in India about what a wonderful developed economy it is, but actually the truth is one in three of the world's poorest people still live there, so there's a lot of work to be done.
Doctors from the EU who want to practice in the NHS in England are to have to prove their English skills under a new scheme from April. It's already a requirement for non-European doctors. The Business Secretary Vince Cable has insisted neither he nor the Liberal Democrat leader Nick Clegg knew about claims that the party's former chief executive, Lord Renard, behaved inappropriately towards women, which he denies. Two inquiries have been set up to look into the complaints made by several women. A bishop in Lancashire is urging everyone in the county to buy a real Easter egg this year. They're a fair trade product, guaranteeing a fair price for farmers in the developing world, and also featuring the Christian message of Easter on the box. The Bishop of Burnley and Acting Bishop of Blackburn, the Right Reverend John Goddard, says choosing a real egg this Easter will make a huge difference.
If we rarely want to change things in this world, we could do it all sorts of ways. One of the ways is to give just and proper wages that we would expect in our own lives to make sure other people can get them. And then we're not exploiting people. We're working with people for the betterment of the whole, well, the whole world in the end.
Finally, the sale of a Banksy mural that mysteriously disappeared from the wall of a Poundland store in North London has been called off at the 11th hour. The artwork of a boy making bunting on a sewing machine vanished last weekend, and a campaign has been mounted to get it back. You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire News, 12:05 the time now. Weather for the afternoon will continue cloudy and cold for the most part. It'll stay mainly dry, one or two light snow flurries in some places, the forecasters are warning. Maximum temperature, that's going to be around 4 degrees Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. The forecast for your area over the next few days is on our website. You can get all your latest news and sport there as well at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
Gardening,
countryside and the great outdoors
with Stephen Lowe on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Good afternoon, another dry Sunday here in Lancashire. Well, I hope it is with you. I'm live today from a rather special farm. Yeah, we're at Brownhill Farm, which is a care farm. Much more in this hour about the fantastic work that's happening right here in the county. Well, if that hasn't got the blood pumping, I don't know what will have. That's Brian Ferry, and let's stick together here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Coming up in this, the middle hour of Lancashire Outdoors. Now, the lambing season is upon us, and there's a nasty little bog plant that's causing illness in sheep who eat it. and you might be able to help with the research into it. Plus, we're going to have our latest from this week's farming news, and in a moment, something horsey that doesn't involve burgers and lasagna, thank goodness. All coming up in this, the middle hour, plus much more, actually, from this wonderful farm, this care farm, here at Brownhill Farm, coming up in this, the middle hour of Lancashire Outdoors. Now, if you were with us earlier, then we gave you a list of events going on today. I mentioned a horse event which is taking place in Accrington, well, very near to Accrington. The Equine Bonanza Show is at the Croft Top Farm Equestrian Centre at Rising Bridge. It's just above Rising Bridge. I know it very well indeed up there. And the lady who organises it is Lorraine Thomas, who's waiting to talk to us now. Good afternoon, Lorraine.
Afternoon.
You're just above Rising Bridge, aren't you?
We are, yeah. It's very cold on the hill up here.
You get some proper weather up there.
We do.
a long time ago, when I was working planting trees, we stored trees up at that particular farm, and we turned up one Monday morning, and the snow was about 4 foot deep. We couldn't find any trees that we'd planted. We turned around and we went home. But tell us a little bit about yourself. You've got your own stud farm, I believe.
We have. We've Cheshmere Stud in Baycup. We breed Welsh ponies and A's, C's, and D's.
Right. So you're a breeder, and you've got a lot of horses. Have you of your own then?
I have. Yeah. And my son, he breaks horses in. He produces them for people for events like showing, like roping today, and. We compete to quite a high standard, and hopefully each year we go to the Horse of the Year show and compete there.
Oh, wow, big stuff. Why are you over at Rising Bridge at Croft Top then? Why are you not in Baycup today?
Well, today we run shows ourselves as well, so today we're not competing. People have come here to compete at the show today. They're doing Hinnan showing this morning, and then this afternoon they're going to be doing some ridden classes. And we run three events. We run this one, another one here in November, and we run a Welsh one, which is for Welsh horses in the summertime. So me and Sam Jackin, that's the partner who does the organising with me, we put these events on.
So today then, if you've just got an interest in horses and you maybe haven't got one, can you just come along and spectate? Is it that kind of event?
Yeah, everyone can come along. Anybody can come and spectate and watch these events. The one we run in the summer, the May one, that's held at Townley Park. And we even run some fun dog classes there as well. So anybody walking the dog classes, walking the dogs, can come and enter the classes for the fun dog show as well.
Well, if people are thinking along and coming and seeing you, it's Croft Top's up at Stormfold, isn't it? Which is just back underneath the... if you turn left... Just before you get to the Shell Garage at Rising Bridge, and the road sort of, people will know it as the Sherfin Corn Mill, won't they, in that area, and go back underneath the road and follow it up through that way.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's a free event. They can come up, watch. There's plenty going on. Our ridden ring doesn't start till 1 o'clock, so people, if you want to bring their horses, can come and enter on the day and still come and join the ridden classes. And any spectator, everybody can come and watch, and there's a nice warm cafe.
Oof.
And I think the bar will be due to open very shortly as well, so they'll be
I'll
able
tell you
to
what,
sit in the bar.
They didn't have a bar when I used to go up there.
There's a new bar now, and there's a nice warm cafe as well.
Brilliant. I think they just about got running water when I went there, to be honest. It is a cold shop up there. Good luck with that. Enjoy that today, and I hope you get plenty of people turning up, Lorraine. And I think we'll have to come along and have a look at your stud. We're going to have a look at the farm, I think. That'd be an adventure for Lancashire Outdoors. We'll come along and say hello. Good luck for the event today, Lorraine.
Thank you very much.
Superb. Good luck with that. That's an event taking place, the Equine Bonanza Show, taking place today up at Croft Top Farm Equestrian Centre. Easy for me to say. And that's at Stormfall Village at Rising Bridge, just above Accrington, in between Accrington and Haslingden, really. Carol is hard at it over here. Carol, you've not stopped every time I come over to see you. You're working out. What are you on with at the minute?
We're just filling some hay nets for the horses.
And who are you doing this with?
I'm doing it with Carl, who's my son.
And Carl, he's such a hard worker. He hasn't stopped, has he?
He hasn't, no. He likes to get his jobs done, but he likes to finish as well, so he likes to get it done and then he can go in, yeah.
Do you want to say hello, Carl, or are you going to keep working? Are you going to say hello? Do you like working here?
I'm Thomas the Tank Engine of BBC One. Get you on back in 2002 at Series 6.
There you go. He's enjoying... I tell you what, he's so... I've never seen anybody getting stuck into the work with such a big smile on his face.
He does. He seems to enjoy it, really, to be outside. And like I say, he likes to finish as well, but he likes to watch Thomas the Tank. We've had Thomas the Tank for 20-odd years, so he's got quite a collection in his bedroom.
If there's an helicopter in Thomas the Tank Engine now, it's all gone modern, hasn't it?
Oh, I think Harold's been in it for a while.
Has he been in it for a while? Oh, he's enjoying that. He's been in it for a while. But when I first started watching it, my eldest is 18, my youngest is 5. When we watched it with Tom, there were no helicopter then. But then the second time around, it's a whole new island, of Sodor. And
there is, and they've created a few new trains along the way as well. It's not just Thomas and Percy.
Well, there's lots to buy now, isn't there?
One more to buy, yeah, definitely.
So you're carrying on with the jobs now. How long will you spend? I know you don't usually come on a Sunday, do you?
No, he's not usually here on a Sunday, but I mean, they're here from 9 till 3:30 every day, so it's not just filling in, it's all day. There's different activities to do. They're hoping to do more gardening in the summer when it gets a bit warmer.
If we get a summer,
you know, and vegetables really, so they can take them home and eat them, and you know. Tony was hoping to maybe look to get an incubator for eggs, so we can hatch some of the eggs and see them grow, and so.
It's all good stuff, isn't it? It's all like connecting with nature.
Yeah, and, you know, seeing where your food comes from, isn't it? And not that we eat the chickens or anything, but, you know.
Yeah, the eggs, though.
Eat the eggs. And Alex especially likes collecting the eggs and taking them home, and, yeah, so.
Get them back up. There's no stopping him, your young man. Yeah. He is an absolute powerhouse at grafting. He's a credit to this farm. Thank you very much. We'll have a wander up it. Honestly, the nets are piling up. We'll tweet a picture of that a little bit later on, of all the hard work that's going on here at the farm. We're a care farm. That's what they say. They care for, not just for the animals, but for the people that are coming here and helping out. We're going to find out more from Tony in a moment or two. Right now, let's find out how the roads are coping across the county. It's slightly after 12:15.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Looking at the cameras on the motorways, things seem to be looking good. No accidents or incidents to let you know of. In Blackburn, it's a bit congested on Barbara Castle Way, around Lark Hill and Penny Street. Other than that, things are looking good. On the public transport, on the First Trans Pennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lake District. And on the Virgin trains, we've also got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle. It's those same overrunning engineering works that are causing problems on the Virgin trains as well. So do make sure you check before you travel. And just an update on those roadworks that may cause one or two problems later on in Burnley. It's the closure of Trafalgar Street. It's actually closed at Westgate, so expect delays there during the busier times. But if you spot any other problems and it's safe and legal to do so, call in on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
More online
at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire. Loving where we live in the Red Rose County.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
I love the lovely sceneries on either side of the towns.
The walking, Pendle Hill all round that area.
Blackpool, probably. Sentimental reasons, I suppose.
We've got some beautiful countryside. That's something I like about Lancashire.
I'd say Preston.
It's got to be Lancaster, the river. It's just from growing up.
Friendly people. That's what we like about it.
Loving the Red Rose County.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Oh, is he more?
But you see, I don't care how cold you are. I'm coming home soon. I'm gonna make you a star. Yeah, 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 yeah. We gonna make you a star. 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 We gonna make you a star.
David Essex, I'm going to make you a star here at BBC Radio Lancashire. We've got music to come from ELO, Nina, and the beautiful South, as Jackie does her best to defend myself.
I'm
from
defending your modesty.
Yeah, they're trying to eat my jeans, leaving me in a pair of Daisy Duke shorts. It's not warm enough for that, Goats, is it? Now, come on, behave. Behave. I like the way they chase the dog away, have you noticed?
Yeah, I know the dog, and then the dog comes chasing after them then.
Yeah, the dogs, there's a chocolate lab here in the farmyard here at Brownhill, and it turns around and gives them what for. time now for our farming news, and Ben Briggs is with us, deputy editor from the Farmers Guardian, joins us now. How are we doing, Ben?
I'm good, Stephen. I'm out on a walk by the River Ribble, and off of Lancashire Ramblers are currently walking past me, looking at me in a bit of an odd manner, so...
Give them a shout, say hello. From BBC Radio Lancashire, Stephen Law. Go on, give him a shout.
No, I think it'll be lost on a mate, honestly. They're just eyeing me suspiciously.
We get a lot of correspondence from the rambling associations asking us to go out with them for walks. And the problem that we have is that, obviously, you've seen our setup. We can get about 500 metres from the radio van and then the signal drops. So it's not the fact that I'm not looking forward to a 10-mile hike with loads of people in the 60s who can walk much further than I can. It's just that, obviously, the technology's letting us down on this occasion, Ben.
Yes, slightly. We're a bit in the middle of nowhere here at the moment, so...
Well, technology's working well. Tell us, then, what's your first news story that you've got from the world of farming for us today?
The first one is that the English Beef and Lamb Executive has suggested that consumers are looking to choose well-marbled meat. Now, if anybody is tucking into a bit of beef this Sunday, the chances is it'll be quite a lean piece. There won't be much fat in the middle of the meat. It'll be kind of round the outside, and it'll be because consumers over the past probably 25, 30 years have looked for increasingly kind of lean meat, so there's not that fat. You know, maybe it's perceived as a bit healthy. Bit more healthy, but the Eblex are suggesting that consumers here and abroad want a return to the more well marbled stuff that maybe has a bit more flavour, and that'll have a knock on effect because the animals and the breeds that produce that are the things like the traditional English ones, like the Longhorns with the big horns, or the Herefords, which are like the brown cattle with the white face. So, you know, if this actually is borne out, we could see a slight change away from people breeding, you know, the likes of the continental cattle, like the Limousins and other things like that. So we're working on a global market now. We export a lot, so if people are demanding it, then maybe that's what farmers will have to breed more of.
It's interesting when you think about the whole breeding process, and we've gone into it at length in the past here at Lancashire Outdoors, but you're not talking about, well, people are changing their minds on what they're going to have this Christmas for the Christmas meal, so we'll grow something else this year and we'll get away with it. You've got to look 2-3 generations within the cattle down the line, so you're looking at 5-10 years worth of breeding to get your stock to change, just because people's maybe ambitions for the Sunday roast change, shall we say.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, farmers have to provide what the consumer wants, and if they're provided something that they don't want and then there's no market for it, then there's no financial bottom line. But as you say, it takes time, and actually, you know, it's all right talking about it, but if there's firm demand, then people can change the businesses slightly. But without that demand actually, you know, showing itself, then people aren't going to, because as you say, it's an investment and it takes quite a long time to bring through quality animals.
Quality animals. I've got to admit, I do my favourite piece of beef at the minute, and has been for quite a while, has got to be ribeye steaks, and of course that's got the fat through the centre of it. I don't tend to eat the fat in the middle, but it does impair some flavour into the rest of the meat. Maybe that's been replicated across people at the county's dinner plates. We'll see. We shall see. Keep an eye on that one, I think. How do you get a job with the body, by the way? I've got to see if I can throw my hat in the ring for that, for the lamb and beef executive. I hope my... They're going to have a good dinner,
aren't they? Chief taste tester would be all right, wouldn't it? I think it'd be not a bad job.
You're not going to be on a tuna salad for your dinner there, are you?
No, I think they'd escort you from the building if you were.
Now, some more good news from over in the east of the county.
Yeah, there's a Burnley sheepdog breeder called Sean Richards, and he's sold two sheepdogs at Skipton in the last 10 days or so. One for £2,700 and one for £2,500, which... seems to me like a lot to pay for a dog, but he'd sold one at the end of last year called March at Mid for a world record price of £8,000. And these sheepdogs are obviously, you know, a good sheepdog for a shepherd with a big flock is a really important thing, and they seem to be generating quite a lot of income off the back of them. But also there's a big trialing scene as well. We have a page in FG every week reporting on the sheepdog trials from around the country, so there is a big scene there, and these people are really enthusiasts as well. If we get anything wrong on the sheepdog thing, the letters of complaint or phone calls I get, you wouldn't believe.
No, I can well believe it. Having spent some time amongst the people that enjoy the sheepdog trial, it is a very, very serious business, and to them, you know, the paying for the top dog, it's the difference between winning and losing, I guess, in some of the competitions.
It is, but it's also, you know, it's what we said about the beef thing, about the breeding, that, you know, people are probably buying these male or female dogs in because, you know, you've then got a good breeding line to work with. So if you're putting it, you know, if you've got good puppies coming off these things, you can hopefully then sell them on for more money in the long run as well. So there is a commercial aspect to it as well. And, you know, people are investing to try and make them pay and not just around the sheep up.
Not just to get on the sheep. Now, back to milk, I believe, for your last story today.
Yeah, Orla, which is one of the big milk companies, and it's a milk processor that will take a lot of milk off farmers in Lancashire. It's announced a new contract, which it claims is the first in the UK to be fully compliant with the Dairy Code of Voluntary Practice. That was brought in after the protests of last summer when processing depots and supermarkets were blockaded and picketed by farmers angry at the milk price. And this voluntary code is basically a guideline so, you know, retailers and processors can work towards something that is hopefully fair and equitable for the farmers. Now, Arla has made the first step in what it claims is living up to this voluntary code. So hopefully some of the farming unions are hoping that, you know, other companies will follow suit, really, and farmers can earn a decent price at a time when input costs keep rising and rising.
It's another step along the story. We've got to see it as good news. There has been talk, as you mentioned, you know, we've had the protests. There was talk, I know I'd picked up a bit of a buzz around on Twitter and in various places that possibility of protests in the summer. And I guess we've got to keep the momentum going. At the same time, we don't want to alienate consumers across the county, do we?
No, and it's that thing from the milk companies that, you know, words have to be backed up with actions, don't they? And we have to get to a place where the market is operating correctly so that, you know, farmers are getting a fair deal, but also consumers are getting a fair deal. I mean, you know, for any of us who were, you know, for any of us motorists or you know, you're looking at the pumps and prices are going up there, and home gas supplies and oil supplies are going up at the same time. So, you know, the last thing we want really is for food to rocket up as well. But for it not to do so, and for everybody to get a fair deal, we need a market that operates correctly.
We do indeed. Well, Ben, enjoy the rest of your walk. Where's your final destination today? Don't
well, we're currently down by the Ribble, just outside of Ribchester. So in about an hour, I might be in the Ribchester Arms having a pint down there.
Nothing local bitter, obviously. Keep the food miles down and support your local producer. Yeah, of course. But I may have to join you in some 3B's bitter later on this afternoon, just to support my local economy with some sprout house beef. There you go. Cheers, mate. Enjoy the rest of your day, mate.
Thanks very much, Stephen.
Superb. That's Ben Briggs from the Farmers Guardian, part of our regular slots here at BBC Radio Lancashire and Lancashire Outdoors. Each and every Sunday, try and bring you a bit of news from the other side of the farm gate. Now, with the news from the rest of the county and beyond, it's 12:30. It's time for Marvellous Mike West.
Thanks, Stephen. The most senior Roman Catholic clergyman in Britain has denied allegations of inappropriate behaviour by three priests and a former priest. Cardinal Keith O'Brien, the leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, is taking legal advice about the claims, which are said to date back to the 1980s. The Bishop of Lancaster is backing a national campaign to persuade consumers to buy locally produced British products in the wake of the horsemeat scandal. A Blackpool man who recently visited India's impoverished Dalit communities says the publicity surrounding David Cameron's recent visit to the country did not reflect the true nature of suffering there. Steve Haskett's about to embark on a coast-to-coast walk and cycle to raise money for humanitarian projects in India. Doctors from overseas who want to work in the NHS in England will soon have to prove they can speak proficient English. The Bishop of Burnley is urging everyone in Lancashire to buy a real Easter egg this year. They're a fair trade product, guaranteeing a fair price for farmers in developing the world. And also, they feature the Christian message of Easter on the box. And the man who designed the Daleks for the BBC, Ray Cusick, has died at the age of 84. The weather's going to continue mostly cloudy and cold this afternoon. There may be one or two light snow flurries. Top temperature at best, only 4 degrees Celsius. That's 39 Fahrenheit. There's more for you on our website. That's at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
This is your weekly window into the great outdoors of Lancashire with me, Stephen Law. Coming up very soon on the programme, we're going to be talking about this wonderful farm that we're at, this Brownhill Farm, a care farm. I'd never heard of a care farm before. We're going to find out much more about the cracking work that takes place right here in the middle of the county. And we've got music from ELO and from Nina. And don't forget, Sally Naden is back with us tomorrow. She'll be talking about the power of stories, the importance of networking, and discover a new school where young people can turn talent into a career. That's all with Sally Naden tomorrow from 11, only here at BBC Radio Lancashire.
On a one-way street, I was hoping for a chance to meet. I was waiting.
Just how good is that? ELO and Sweet Talking Woman here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Now, I've got a couple of events I want to tell you about. The Hardy Plants Society in Chorley have got an event taking place at Birkacre Garden Centre tomorrow at 7.30 at night. Val Bowen, the gardening author, correspondent and natural gardener, is talking about first-rate perennials. Tickets are £10. They do say advance booking is required. You can ring 01204 300 214. That's the Hardy Plant Society. They've got their lecture taking place tomorrow. And then at the Padiham Unitarian Church next Saturday at 7.30, there is an incredibly talented pianist from Belarus of international repute, Maya Iraglina. I hope I said that right. She's playing all over Europe and China. She has had a glittering academic career and an array of distinctions prizes, and is a yeoman of the prestigious Worshipful Company of Musicians. She'll be joined by Kristen Healy, a flautist. See, I'm learning slowly, and not floating. Not like that dynamo, that musician from Australia, who has had an equally gifted and diverse career thus far. The programme covers composers such as Bach and Schubert, as well as contemporary ones. Admission £7, and all our proceeds will go to the Northwest Air Ambulance. That's next Saturday, at the 2nd, March the 2nd, at 7.30pm at the Padiham Unitarian Church. Now, who have we got here that's jumping up and down doing star jumps in front of me? What's your name?
Emma.
Emma, you've been dying to go on radio, haven't you? What do you do here?
Well, I do sometimes help to put in the chickens, feed them, and get in the ducks and help them feed and have some water to drink out and have a bath in.
So a lot of work, you know. The horses are enjoying it. And who have we got here? Who's your friend here at side of us?
Aaron, I think.
We've got Aaron.
Not the bestest with names.
You're not the bestest with names. You did very well then. Well done on your radio and starting your career. Aaron, I believe you are the only bloke that can keep hand on these goats, that can look after them.
Yeah, no.
Are they your responsibility, the goats?
Yeah.
Have you managed to stop them? What do you do with the goats?
At the moment, it's hard to get them out back in the thingy.
Where they live, up in the shed?
Yeah, in the shed.
Well, why is it hard?
It's hard to try and control them.
Well, I've noticed that. And have you got any tips for us? Because they're eating our radio van. Is there anything we need to do? What can we do to stop them eating our radio van?
Eat them. The food.
All right. I'm glad you said the food then. And you've got... What jobs do you do on the farm then?
Oh, I muck out, I do watering, and I do loads of cold outside.
Loads outside. Now, do you enjoy it?
I love it.
That's the biggest love that we've had here today. Everybody seems to be a really good team.
Well, at the moment, I love the rabbit. Every time I feed them too.
Yeah, and do you come up here every week?
I do up to Monday, that's tomorrow, and Thursday up here.
So, is it a special treat for you to come along and see us on a Sunday then?
I will do. I'm a very special person on Sunday.
There you go. What a good do, Tony. We've got lots of people coming up here helping. Aaron's got his special. Everyone said to us, Aaron, they've got to you've got to get Aaron to sort the goats out, and look, there's no goats here, so you've done the trick.
Yeah, I did the food and put the lead on.
Ah, you see, was that all we needed all along, was Aaron, Tony?
That's it. A little bit of control from Aaron, we're fine.
So you've got, but everybody seems to have a specialism that they enjoy doing, don't they?
Well, it's all about choice, as in people want to do the goats or water or the ducks, things like that, then they're allowed to, obviously. We don't want to sort of force them down the line of, I don't like horses or don't like animals. So, and Aaron loves the goats, so we're trying to let him have as much time as possible. Obviously, and making sure he does other things as well, but he's very good.
Do you get a list of jobs when you come?
Yes.
Ooh, is it hard work?
Yeah, in the cold. Doing the water is too hard.
What, in the cold?
Yeah.
What about when the summer comes? When
barbecue. It's... Barbecue, take your clothes off.
What, and get all summy?
Yeah,
yeah, get your T-shirt on. You don't need your coat on, do you?
No, and take your yellow jacket I'm wearing at the moment.
Oh, I'll tell you something. Can you see, I've got my gloves on. You've worn your gloves through. You've been working that hard.
I've been busy.
You have. You have. I feel quite lazy. I've not done anything. I'm just on the radio. I've not helped out yet, have I?
Oh, at the moment, there's done lots to do this afternoon.
Yeah, what's your list of jobs, do you know?
Brushing, sweeping, and do the water over there. I did this after this morning. It's hard work.
What do you have to do? Tell us what you have to do with the water.
You know that yellow bucket over there?
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
It's frozen at the moment. It's frozen.
That's how cold it is here. The water's blinking frozen.
Yeah.
Right, so what do we have to do then? If that's frozen, how do we give the water a drink?
Use the kitchen one over there.
All right, so that hose up there?
Yeah.
From the kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's cowed. When you come up, and do the animals know you? Do they run up to you?
Yeah, I groomed them today. America.
What do you do when you're grooming?
I use the special I use the brush and your helmet, the horseman helmet.
Why do you have to wear an helmet?
Don't hit me on my body.
Oh, can they be a bit dangerous? Well, they're quite big, aren't they?
Yeah, it's huge.
It is huge. I got to admit, when I went in, I went, "Whoa, he's a big fella." Go a bit steady. Are you not scared?
Yes, I am now.
Yeah, you just keep away from back end, I believe.
Yeah, what's he kick you?
They do. Well, if you got at front end, they can bite you.
I know.
So stay in middle.
I move away.
You move away.
I move away.
I tell you, we're the easiest to look after, these chickens, because I've noticed as they go around, they're just eating the horse's food, the dog's food, and the goat's food. They just seem to help themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
Working their way around. When you've been and finished at the end of a day, then do you like to have a nice cup of tea and hot bath?
No, sometimes I have my tea after the finish here at 3 o'clock. I'll put the tap on.
Yeah, yeah.
And a nice bath, a bit smelly.
Oh.
The job.
It is. I've noticed there's a bit of a smell around. Alex has come back. Alexandra. It's the Sunday name that her mum gives out. You've got the helmet on. Have you been grooming?
Yeah, Monica.
You've been grooming Monica?
Yeah, and sometimes she grooms your back.
How does she groom your back?
It's massages her, and she likes it.
All right, so she helps you back and rubs against you?
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested, because Adam's been telling us you've got to wear your hide hat. You've got your hide hat on
there. For safety reasons, because sometimes horses can get spooked, and if a horse knocks your head, it can break your jaw.
Well, yeah. Well, they're very strong, aren't they?
Yeah, and plus, you have to have suitable rallies as well, you know, steel butter, because they can stand on you, the horses. They can break every bone in your foot.
There'd be none of that, just your metatarsal, like David Beckham, would there? They'd be a proper... Oh, your toes would be black and blue, wouldn't they? Because they're very heavy, aren't they?
Yeah, and they can also kick you in your stomach as well.
Tony, come here. I'm getting worried now. How am I going to go in there with these? But they sound...
They have karate chopping horses everywhere and leaping about, but... See, safety first, obviously, make sure the guys wear hats and, as Alex was just saying, steel toe caps, just in case anything happens. Nothing has happened in a year and a bit since we've been here, but like I said, just in case.
So. I'm really impressed that both Aaron and Alex knew about the health and safety, because some of the lads I work with struggle to get health and safety, and they're running around with chainsaws and such like, but straight away, you both knew, so well done. Can we have a little bit of a tour around the farm? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Superb stuff. While we go for a walk around the farm, we'll go and find maybe the next horse for us to have a look at some work on. We'll see what Tony's got lined up for us. We'll find out how the roads are coping across the county. It's time for Traffic and Travel.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Things are still looking good on the motorways. No accidents or incidents to let you know about. In Bamber Bridge, we've got some slow traffic on the A6 at Lostock Lane around Sainsbury's in the South Ring traffic lights. But it's better news in Blackburn. The congestion on Barbara Castleway seems to have eased around Lark Hill and Penny Street. And just a heads up that Wigan Warriors are playing London Broncos in a rugby match at the DW Stadium that kicks off at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So do expect some extra traffic on Robin Park Road, Wallgate and Ormskirk Road as well. And on the public transport, on the first Trans-Pennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme at Lake District. But any other problems that you spot, call in if it's safe and legal to do so on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
More in 30 minutes.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
Stand up for Comic Relief.
We've a great night of stand-up comedy lined up for this year's Comic Relief. Ted Robbins will join me, Steve Royal, along with many of you taking to the stage for the very first time. You're invited to join us on Tuesday night, March the 12th at the Viva Cabaret Theatre in Blackpool. Tickets are just £5 with all proceeds, minus VAT, going to Comic Relief. To find out how you can get yours, call our help desk on 0345 305 9000 during office hours. 0345 305 9000.
Stand up for Comic Relief.
In Blackpool on March the 12th with BBC Radio Lancashire.
You and I. Bag of balloons with the money we've got. Set them free at the break of dawn. Till one by one they were gone. Back at base, box in the software. Flash the message, something's out there. Floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by.
BBC Radio Lancashire. That was Nina and 99 Red Balloons. We're live from a care farm, Brownhill Farm, here in the heart of Lancashire, not far from Blackburn Town Centre, really. It's a couple of miles as the crow flies. Lots of animals on the farm. One or two sheep up on the fields behind us. As we've reported over the last couple of years here at Lancashire Outdoors, it's been difficult times for sheep farmers. Bad news seems to be coming with each and every lambing season. We reported on the Schmallenberg virus, falling lamb prices, and sheep liver fluke to contend with. But now something else known as sort is causing a problem in lambs, so much so that Natural England is putting some money forward for research. To tell us more and about how you can help, let's talk to Shirley Muir, coordinator from the Farm Network. Good afternoon, Shirley.
Afternoon.
Now, first of all, have I said it right? Is it sort? And what is sort?
Well, to be honest, we're not even sure how to spell it, but most people pronounce it sout.
Sout.
It's a disease that affects young lambs, and it gives them symptoms like severe sunburn. So it might affect their backs, they lose their wool and they get scabs along the back. But worse is around the head and the eyes. And their ears can suffer so badly that they drop off, and it can affect their eyelids, so they go blind. So it's not good.
No, not good at all. And when I say I've never heard of it, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a world-renowned expert on all animal diseases, but just how long have we known about it?
Well, we've talked to farmers who've known about it for 30 years. But the issue is that it seems to be escalating in some areas, and that's really what we're trying to get to grips with. We're trying to find out just the scale of the problem and the geography of it, because we're just not sure at the moment how widespread it is.
So we don't know how far and how widespread it is. Like, we've been following Schmallenberg across the country and then across the county.
Yeah.
But we don't know the spread on this.
Well, it seems to be affecting a lot of people on higher ground, because it's associated with a plant called bog asphodel, and that grows on wet, acid grassland. And because of the wet summers and because of changes in drainage too, that plant is becoming more widespread, and we think that's why the sout problem is becoming more widespread as well.
Ooh, now, is there a bit of a conflict going on here? Because we've reported in the past on conservationists who want more natural bogland for plants like this to kind of increase, but there's a danger to sheep health on the back of it then. Is that what we're saying, Shirley?
There are some farms that are in higher level schemes that have got, they're actually re-wetting the boglands to, you know, to improve habitat. And bog asphodel is actually one of the indicator species that shows the habitat's in good health. So there's potentially, you know, there's something that this is why Natural England are keen to find out more about the problem and the possible solutions, so that, you know, we can continue to improve the habitats without affecting the farming.
You can see it now, can't you? I mean, the upland farms up on the moors and such like, it's a tough place to scratch a living. You just see the farmers now with their head in their hands going, what do I have to do? I can't do right for doing wrong. We're making the, you know, we're pleasing the conservationists here, and we're putting back the wetlands as they want it, and now my livelihood's been directly affected.
Yeah, I mean, there are some farmers that have managed this for, you know, over 20 years, and they've seen the problem. In some cases, it's increased. But they've learnt how to cope with it on their farm. And not everybody can do it, because it means maybe putting lambs out later, maybe putting them out higher, and some farmers, as soon as they see the lambs suffering, can bring them in, and, you know, once, if you can get them indoors, they recover quite quickly. But obviously not every farm can do that, and so that's why we're looking at possible solutions. I mean, it looks as though breeds like Herdwick, which have darker faces, are less susceptible than breeds like Swaledale. So that could be one possible solution. We think that maybe lambs that are still quite young and are still reliant on their mothers might get some resistance from their mother's milk, so that might help too. But we're really just at such an early stage that what we're trying to do at the moment is get people to tell us, if their farm suffers from it, is it increasing, and where they are, and then we'll try and work on some solutions.
So this is where you want our farmers to help, Natural England, putting that money forward for research, and you want people to get in touch with you so that you can build up a database, I'm guessing, of all the places where it's affecting and how people are dealing with it and how best to cope with it.
That's exactly right, yes. Yep, we basically just want to know if farmers are suffering with the problem, you know, roughly how many lambs are affected, whether they think it's increasing or decreasing, and where they are. And then once we've got that information, we're going to trial some different management, grazing management regimes, and look at other issues like breeds and that kind of thing. So that really this is just a first step in trying to clarify the problem and where it is, and then take it from there.
And how do farmers, if they've got the problem, if they want to give you some information, how do they get in touch with you? What's the best way of doing that?
Just contact the Farmer Network. We're based in Penrith, but you can email me directly on shirley@thefarmernetwork.co.uk, or just give me a ring on 016973 20803.
And we'll put that number on our help desk. And the mention of Penrith there reminds me of me of my younger days at college up at Newton Rig.
Newton Rig, well, that's where the Farm Network's based now.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I'll take a trip up and you'll be able to tell me more about the fantastic work that
you're
doing.
Welcome
anytime. All right, Shirley, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thanks for joining us here on Lancashire Outdoors. Brilliant. That's Shirley Muir from the coordinator of the Farm Network. This is the beautiful South, and Don't Marry Her.
The Red Rose County.
This is BBC Radio Lancashire.
Coming up in the news, another controversy engulfs the Catholic Church and the romance of Wembley, Bradford style. Just after 1 o'clock, good afternoon, I'm Mike West. The most senior Roman Catholic clergyman in Britain has denied allegations of inappropriate behaviour made by several priests. The claims against Cardinal Keith O'Brien, who's the leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, are said to date back to the 1980s. The Cardinal is Britain's only representative in the conclave to elect Pope Benedict's successor next month. Our religious affairs correspondent Robert Piggott says he believes he will take part in the vote at the Vatican, despite the allegations.
The Cardinal has denied the claims and said that he's taken
taking legal advice. Also, it's very difficult to prevent a cardinal from exercising his vote, as we've seen in the past. And in fact, if a cardinal is under 80 and therefore allowed by church law to take part, then really it's very difficult to disqualify him. And so I suspect very strongly that Cardinal O'Brien will go to the conclave.
Pope Benedict, meanwhile, has been giving his last Sunday blessing in St. Peter's Square before he steps down on Thursday after nearly 8 years as the pontiff. He told thousands of pilgrims in Rome that he was resigning because God had called on him to devote himself to prayer, but he promised not to abandon the church. A Blackpool man who recently visited India's impoverished communities says the publicity surrounding David Cameron's recent visit to the country did not reflect the true nature of suffering there. Steve Haskett is about to embark on a coast-to-coast walk and cycle to raise money for humanitarian projects in the Dalit community. Speaking on BBC Radio Lancashire's Faith programme this morning, he described one of the injustices he witnessed.
We saw one of India's richest men paying a group of builders £1.20 a day to build luxury apartment blocks that then he was going on to sell for hundreds of thousands of pounds. I think there's been a lot of rhetoric out there at the moment with Mr. Cameron being out in India about what a wonderful developed economy it is, but actually the truth is one in three of the world's poorest people still live there, so there's a lot of work to be done.
Doctors from the EU who want to practice in the NHS in England will have to prove their English skills from April. It's already a requirement for non-European doctors. Motorists are being offered free number plate screws at an event in Burnley today. It's part of a series of similar events organised by the Pennine Division of Lancashire Police over the next 3 months. The idea is to combat the growing problem of number plate theft. Sergeant Jim Astin, who's organised today's event at the Nissan dealership on Westgate in Burnley, says the screws are proving to be an effective deterrent.
It's been successful across Lancashire. However, the police in Burnley and Padiham are taking a slightly different approach with it by trying to encourage garages and car dealerships to take up the initiative. And so far, we've seen the interest has been very, very good.
A bishop in Lancashire is urging everyone in the county to buy a real Easter egg this year. They're a fair trade product, guaranteeing a price for farmers in the developing world, and also featuring the Christian message of Easter on the box. The Bishop of Burnley and Acting Bishop of Blackburn, the Right Reverend John Goddard, says choosing a real egg this time round will make a huge difference.
If we really want to change things in this world, we could do it all sorts of ways. One of the ways is to give just and proper wages that we would expect in our own lives to make sure other people can get them. And then we're not exploiting people, we're working with people for the betterment of the whole, well, the whole world in the end.
Finally, football, and Bradford City will become the first team from the fourth tier of English football to play in a major final for half a century this afternoon. They take on Swansea City in the final of the Capital One Cup at Wembley. Before leaving for London, Ben Hull from the Bradford City Supporters Trust spoke of his emotions.
We've been through so much in the last 10, 13 years for us to be, you know, in the Premier League. I remember when I was a kid coming down and running on the pitch against Liverpool, and then to go to places like Barnet and Markham and lose last-minute goals and wondering why we're still doing it. But, you know, we kept going and kept the faith, and we're here today, and it means everything.
You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire News, 1:05 the time now. Weather's going to continue cloudy and cold this afternoon, but basically dry apart from one or two light snow flurries around. Maximum temperature, that's going to be 4 degrees Celsius, 39 Fahrenheit. We've got the forecast for the next few days for your part of Lancashire on our website. You can find all your latest news and sport there as well at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
Gardening,
countryside and the great outdoors
with Stephen Lowe on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Yes, we are live on the farm. Feel a bit of a cheat calling it Lancashire Outdoors because we're indoors at the minute. We're keeping warm. We're having a bit warm, even though it stopped snowing. We're in the farmhouse here in the kitchen at Brownhill Farm. It's a care farm, a farm with a difference.
Gardening and Life Outdoors
with Stephen Lowe
on BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC Radio Lancashire with me, Stephen Lowe, coming up in this, the last hour of Lancashire Outdoors. Well, we've got our second of a new feature all about allotments. In a year where many sites have been asked to launch into self-management, we'll be getting the latest from the National Allotment Society. With leaks like tree trunks and plums getting bigger, don't miss the latest news from the greengrocer's door as well, as we tell you the good news and what's hot and what's not in the world of fruit and veg this week. And you can join Helen Randall this Sunday for another afternoon of the best in country music. This week, in the A to Z of country, we've reached the letters M and N. So there'll be your choice of tracks from artists such as Reba McIntyre. You're my helper today.
Reba
come
McIntyre.
On. McIntyre. And Willie Nelson. I know Willie Nelson. Thank goodness.
Willie Nelson.
I haven't led such a sheltered life.
Willie Nelson.
You
know,
Willie Nelson. I don't know Willie Nelson. I just know of his work.
I thought you knew
his large cannon of.
Will
are we on air
Nelson?
Still? Just checking. Moving along, plus your request and dedication too. All, of course, with a country twist. That's a little bit of country for the county with Helen Randall from 2 on this afternoon here at BBC Radio Lancashire. Time now for one of our new monthly features, as I'm sure you'll know by now, allotments and growing your own feature regularly on Lancashire Outdoors. With many of our allotment sites heading for self-management, we thought it might find it useful to have a regular update from the National Allotment Society. Andy Percival is the assistant rep for NAS in the Northwest, and he's here with the very latest. How are we doing, Andy?
Very well, Stephen. It sounds like you're having fun down on the farm this afternoon.
I am having fun down. I'm cheating, though. I'm in the kitchen. Come on, I'll tell you what it is. We're outside. She's dragging me out. I've had enough of a warm, Andy. We've had it. Do you know, like, your shed? It's nice and warm in here. We'll go back outside into the farmyard. And bracing is the wind. But, yes, we are having fun here, mate. It's the last Sunday of the month, and it's... has it been a quiet month for you on the plot, mate?
Yeah, the last week or so, Stephen, things have started kicking off. Obviously, the weather's been a little bit milder, hasn't it, for us, certainly over the last week. Hopefully, we'll go into a better few days this next week and get things up and going and getting us ready for the season.
Well, I hope so. That bit of sunshine, it's enticing, isn't it, out the kitchen window in the morning, and you think, right, I'll go and do a bit of digging, but it's still thermals, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately, yes, very much so.
Now, what news do you bring us?
Right, we've loads, so I'll romp on with it, Stephen, because obviously I don't want to lose. Just for your own, actually, BBC Two have sent me a thing about they're looking for the complete kitchen gardener. They're looking for pairs of people that have got skills, dedicate to complete the nation's best kitchen gardener. I have put details on the website, and we need applications in by the 8th of March, so I'll also give it to the help desk. Another thing in Helmshaw Textile Museum, I did mention it last month, they've got a seed swap on the 3rd of March. Anybody's welcome, and that's from 10 till 5.
They're great events, them. Really, really good events. It's not just about the seeds, it's about the contacts that you can make, isn't it, as well?
It is, and they've got a thing for Lancashire Grown. It's an exhibition that's going to be on throughout the summer months, so I'll give you further updates as we go on through the season. But
cool.
They're really giving some good efforts around that, so if we can help them over that. And like you say, it's about people swapping seeds that they've got excess of, so that's a real good thing as well.
Brilliant stuff.
Just again, you mentioned self-management. We've got an issues, and I won't mention the individual councils yet, but we've got issues. We've got some challenges over some rent increases, sadly, where we've got some councils that are looking up to 60% going to be an increase this year. And that's not going to be the same percentage for other leisure facilities. So that's some of the arguments we're having with individuals at the moment. And we're asking for, if we've got associations out there, to contact ourselves if they're finding these problems, and then at least we can help them support with the solicitors through to those councils that are going to charge this sort of money.
Together we're strong.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say on that is, you know, when you're on your own, on your plot, and you get your letter through, it can be worrying. And, you know, I went through it all over the last 18 months with Armenborough Council, where people were coming up to me on the plot and getting very worried. Some of the elderly people around on the plots were wondering about where they'd find the extra money from. When everyone got together, went to the council with the help of yourselves at NAS, you know, we've provided quite a formidable body of people.
Yes, it was well discovered over that. I think you'd reported it yourself that Town Hall had never been so full, that meeting for people with allotments, in the past, had they?
They'd never, and I'm guessing we're going to see this replicated around the county. All I would say is that we may be the quiet majority, us allotmenteers, but when we get together, we know how to graft, so just be wary, I would say, to all the councillors listening in today. Yeah. Better move along before I get taken off the air, Andy.
We're on them. Just also about NAS as well, North West Counties, which is the subsidiary of NAS that sort of is the sector of it, the region. It's our AGM on the 21st of April. Again, that's on the website, that's at Birkenhead. So anybody that's a member of that is more than welcome. We've got guest speakers and a buffet. So, again, like I say, just check North West Allotments. If anyone puts that into Google, they'll see all the details on the website. And they're more than welcome to attend on that.
Cracking stuff.
And just some quick things before... I don't think Alec's producing today, but before
no,
I get
you
started...
No, you know what happens when Alec... He's in his oxygen tent again in the Bavarian
he's
mountains.
He's not away again, is
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's basically... He has to get topped up to keep his youthful good looks. He's a bit like Cliff Richard. In fact, I think they share a birthday, or is it just the birth year? I don't know, anyway. He's away, so we can talk about allotments as much as we like. So that's all right. He's usually shouting at me, isn't he, by now. Tell us about what I should be doing on my plot, because the permafrost has set in, but that means at least it's not wet underfoot.
No, it isn't. And I've got a few things. Obviously, for those that like flowers, we should be looking at sweet peas. And as they start coming through, we should be pinching out the shoots to encourage those on. Covering rhubarb with old buckets to exclude light, and that forces the plant to come on. Some people like doing that, some people don't. Strawberry runners, if we've got any strawberry plants from last year, you know, perhaps putting those into hanging baskets, they do make an excellent feature. We should also be dealing with seed potatoes, you know, we should have them ready in trays now, in bright, frost-free positions so that we don't get them caught. We're not ready for planting by any means. And seeds-wise, you know, tomatoes, chilies, cucumbers, again, be aware of the frost. Some people think, oh, it's a nice day and I'll take them down the plot and put them in the greenhouse, and they come the following day and Mr. Frost has had them, so again, beware of it. Onion sets and shallots, a good way of starting those off at home is in some compost in trays and just, you know, in cellular trays. It just brings them on that little bit further.
Gets a bit of root growth, doesn't it? Then?
It does, it gives them some growth. And as we're getting later into March, we should be start thinking about summer bedding plants. I know it sounds daft, but we've got to get the seeds going to start producing them. Early potatoes, growing those in bags of compost, that's a real good way of keeping them away from the frost and obviously a lot of water if we've got a lot. Forking in the remainder of manure and compost, now the frost has broken it down, I think it's had, you know, we've had a few days of it,
yeah.
And it's started giving us. Really, just getting ourselves ready for the growing season, really. February is one of those funny months. And as we get into March, things do start on the up. As we've noticed now, we're getting later nights. We're going up to 5:30, aren't we, and even later. So hopefully we're going into a good kick of spring and into summer.
I'm not going to mention that word just yet. Thank you very much, Andy, though, for a comprehensive roundup of all that's happening in the world of allotments and what we should be doing on the plot. And I look forward to catching up with you next month, mate.
Okay, cheers, Stephen.
Superb stuff. Always have a good day. As they do down on the plots in Blackpool where Andy's down and about. If you've got any allotment news, you can contact us here at the station during the week. Time now for traffic and travel.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Things are looking better in Bamber Bridge. Traffic's now returned to normal on the A6 Lostock Lane around Sainsbury's and the South Ring traffic lights. Looking at the sensors though, in Lower Standish, Wigan Road's quite busy, quite congested around Ashfield Park. Other than that, things are looking okay. Wigan Warriors are playing London Broncos in the rugby match at the DW Stadium kicking off at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So do expect some traffic on Robin Park Road, Walgate and Ormskirk Road. All looking okay so far so good. On the public transport on the First Transpennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lakes District. And on the Virgin trains as well, we've also got delays of up to half an hour between exactly the same places, Preston and Carlisle. It's those overrunning engineering works. But if you can help us, if you spot anything on the roads, call in if it's safe and legal to do so on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
Check out the motorway cameras
at bbc.co.uk/Lancashire.
Hello, this is Stephen Law, and I've got an invitation for you. This summer, we're looking for a project to clean up and transform a little pocket of land near you that's fallen into disrepair. A community space that needs improvement. It could be a playground, a garden, maybe a space for a community allotment. If you know of a deserving pocket of land that needs our attention, call the BBC Radio Lancashire Help Desk on 0345 305 9000 for more details. It's your chance to benefit from our Radio Lancashire Garden Project for 2013. Brought to you by the BBC, working in with the RHS for your community.
Walks up our street. He's a worker for the council. Has been 20 years. And he takes no lip of nobody and litter off the gutter. Puts it in the back and never thinks to mutter. And he packs his lunch in the Sunday's back. The children call him Boogie. He never lets on. But I know because he once told me. He let me know a secret about the money in his kitty. He's gonna buy a dinghy, gonna call her Dignity. And I'll sail her up the west coast, through villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got her, I'll say, I saved my money. They'll say, isn't she pretty? That should cause dignity. And I'm telling a story in a faraway sea, sipping down raki and reading me our keys. And I'm thinking about home and all that that means, and a place in the winter for dignity. And I'll sail up the west coast, through villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got a house. I'll say, I save my money. I say, isn't she pretty? That ship called. We'll be right back.
BBC Radio Lancashire. How good was that? Deacon Blue and Dignity here at BBC Radio Lancashire. We must say a very special hello to Sarah Noak and little Christopher. As you may know, regular listeners may know that Sarah has not been in on the show recently because of the impending arrival of baby Christopher. So congratulations to all the family from everybody here at the Family Radio Lancashire. And I hope you're enjoying your day over in Burnley Hospital. All the best from us. Now, I must ask, is young Philip, are you there in the studio, young Philip?
Hello, Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. You've been poorly today, haven't you, my good friend?
Yes, I've been feeling a little under the weather.
How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling better.
Are you getting there? That's good.
I wish I was there with you with the goats. They sound fun.
They've put the goats away because basically they were chewing through all of our equipment. And when we came, it was a beautiful, sunshining morning, and I could see far, far into the distance over towards Ribchester. Unfortunately, that view has been cut down drastically, either word you want, or the word that I made up just in between. Have we got the wonderful Eno to tell us whether we're going to get snowed on?
I'm afraid we've not.
We've not got Eno.
No.
So shall I have to do it again?
I think you did a very good job before, actually.
Do you know what? I am not paying you enough. I am not paying you enough. Well, here we go then. Shall we have we got a weather jingle, or shall I just go straight into it?
Should we do a weather jingle?
Yeah, have you got a weather jingle?
Yeah,
go on then.
That'd be so interesting.
Part of the team, that is. That's young Philip. Part of the team here at Lancashire Outdoors. Don't send us any get-well messages. He'll only get ideas above his station. He is part of the team indeed. Today, mostly dry and cloudy, apart from some snow flurries. And as I'm looking across towards Ribchester, I reckon that sky is full of snow, the white stuff. It's going to be a maximum temperature, a massive 4 degrees today. Tonight, largely dry for the most part, cloudy with perhaps a few snow flurries. Clear intervals may lead to a very hard frost, so maybe put those newspapers on the front of your window screen tonight before you set off. Save yourself a job in the morning. It's going to be minus 2, that's 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Monday, the start of the week, is going to be essentially dry but rather cloudy, remaining cold with just a small chance of a few flakes of snow on a north-easterly breeze. Get your shorts on Monday. It's going to be 5 degrees. Oh, positively by me. Outlook for Tuesday to Thursday is remaining rather cold but dry. The cloud should break to allow some sunny spells by midweek. Clear spells and light winds could also lead to a risk of sharp overnight frost and to fog. And that is your weather for the next few days. There you go. Leading on, moving on swiftly. Jackie, you've got about another three layers on. It's getting colder, isn't it?
I have, and my nose is a bit chilly.
It is a bit chilly. It doesn't seem to affect the spirits, though, here at the farm.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. I've had a lovely morning. I've been collecting eggs, chasing the geese, chasing the hens.
And batting the goats off.
I want them.
You want the goats?
I want those goats. I love goats, especially when they're as naughty as the two that we've got here today.
You'd have no clothes left. They keep eating me jacket and stuff.
I know, but they're such fun. You can't shout at them, really.
No, you can't shout at them. You cannot shout at them. They are such fun. That's Jackie Jones, my beautiful assistant for today here on Lancashire Outdoors, who's got about 50 layers on. You may have seen one of the two of the pictures that I've been tweeting. You can follow us at BBC Lancashire for the tweets. You may have been in one or two of the pictures.
I hope.
I'm just been taking pictures of the farm as we go around. Now, hopefully, as we move up the farm now, we might get a bit warm as we head behind these buildings, just a bit out of the frost. Let's find what we can get. It's time now to set your tummy rumbling, though, if you haven't had your Sunday lunch yet, because it's time to talk about the best in the world's fruit of veg.
Fruits in season, plenty berries, apples, plums and the old raspberries. Everything is best today.
And joining us this week is the man who enjoys a leek, especially when it's in a nice winter warming soup. It's only our mate Steve Taylor, greengrocer extraordinaire from Waterford. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm all right, my mate. How are you?
Oh, we're doing all right. If I said we were toasty, I'd be lying. But do you know what? It's February, so what do we expect?
Exactly. You get people moaning about the weather, but it's not bad, you know, is it? We're not doing so bad, are we, really?
We're not doing so bad. Now, tell us. Come on. I'm into my hearty veg at minute. You know, we're doing the roast, we're doing the soups.
Right.
What have you got for me?
Well, I've found, well, it's not a new thing, it's new for me to sell, the January King cabbage. I know it's February, but the January King cabbage.
Better late than never.
I've always been a bit backward, as you know. But it's an absolute brilliant cabbage, Steve, and I've tried it personally. It's red on the outside. It goes green in the middle, and right at the centre it's white. And it's a lovely, mild-tasting cabbage. And my good lady wife, Christine, made it as a base to a starter one night. It was Valentine's night, actually. And it went down absolutely brilliant. Ooh. We had a pork roll on top of it, and it was absolutely brilliant. And it's a mild-tasting cabbage, like I said. Very, very nice. It's got to be a try, and at 68 pence for a cabbage, it's not too bad, is it?
That's
mate?
Not too bad, and it sounds like it'd make good coleslaw, that different colour.
I bet it would do, you know. I haven't really thought about that, but there is such thing as red coleslaw, isn't there?
Yeah.
So it's good.
If you make your own coleslaw, you never kind of go back to buying, because it just tastes a bit wattery.
I believe so.
Yeah, which is hard work, because it's not just as easy to have some in your fridge. Or anyway, moving on, listen to me. Piping on about the difficulties of making coleslaw.
Nothing wrong with that.
Anyone think I've got anything to worry about? Before the snow comes, what else have you got for us?
Well, we've got sweetheart cabbage. That, again, is a bit late for Valentine's Day, but that's another really good cabbage. It's also known as a pointy one, but it's a harder spring cabbage. And again, it's a milder tasting cabbage. And that's another one at 68 pence. That's a really good cabbage as well.
That's good.
We're
keeping the prices down for the housewife. We like that. And the house husband, aren't we?
We are. Honestly, it's great. It's superb. I mean, I'm not trying to have a go at anybody, but the big four people who also sell fruit and veg, they're advertising these products for £1 each, and they make it sound like a bargain, you know. But
well,
honestly,
you have to shop around, haven't you? We keep saying this.
Of course you have.
Shop around.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
true.
The cabbage. What's all these about, these big leeks?
Oh, we've got leeks like tree trunks. They're not English, but they're absolutely gorgeous. They're Belgian.
Right.
A bit more expensive than ours, as you can imagine, but they're all leeks, Steve. They're all white.
Ah.
Honestly, they really are. They're really good ones.
Now, I've got a leeky potato soup. Do you put the green top in? Because I put the green top in, do you?
Yeah, we do. I think I've said on this programme, use it all, because the green is the best bit of it for you. Who bothers about how the soup looks?
No, well, it adds flavour. It adds flavour, doesn't
it? Of course it does, and it's fun, isn't it? It's fun having a bit of a colour in your soup.
It is, yeah. Well, it just brightens it up a little bit.
Speaking of fun, we've got Peapods. Peapods have made an appearance.
Where have they come from?
I don't know. They've come from Morocco.
From Morocco? Right. Moroccan Peapods?
Local Peapods from Morocco. And they're sweet. We get Moroccans, we get Spanish, we get Italians. And do you know what, Steve? Unfortunately, I've got to say, they spoil it for us because they're absolutely sweet and tender.
Mm.
And British peapods, honestly, you can't beat them, I know, but they're hit and miss on taste because we get the wet weather here, don't we?
Yeah, it just depends on what weather we get. Yeah,
it is. But peapods are here as well, mate.
Excellent. That's a good sign of maybe spring to come.
Exactly. Now, your cauliflowers are like suns. They're absolutely massive, they are. Good value, again, at 99 pence for a massive collie. Usually they do retail at this time of year, 120, 130. But they're very, very good as well. They're superb. So there you've got your complete winter warmers. And then, coupled with the old broth mix, Steve, we can't leave our broth mix out this weather, can we? That's chopped up mixed veg, all in a bag. It's about £1 in weight, half a kilo in weight or whatever, and that retails at 75p, and there you go.
As it starts to snow again here at Brownhill Farm, a bowl full of broth sounds bob on.
I bet it does.
So,
broth and coffee.
With all this cold weather, I'm guessing that it's not great for salad at the minute.
Oh, my salads are struggling. They're stopping on shelves, but you see, if it's cold, it does keep well. Vine tomatoes are very, very popular still. People are buying them, and coupled with the little gem lettuce, Steve, and that's it. That's all I've got to say about salad.
No, that's enough. If you've got them, keep them in the fridge. It goes well with your leftover meat on a Monday in your bait box.
Of course it does. Yeah.
What about on the fruit
side
of things?
Now, that's taking off a bit now. We've got strawberries. I know they don't look appetising this type of weather, But please get them, because they're tasty. And again, I've always said, sniff before you buy. I'm sure a greengrocer is what won't mind. But they're absolutely gorgeous, and quite reasonable too. You know, a half-pound punnet, 99p. It's not bad, is it, this time of year?
No, not bad. Not bad, really.
And then we've got what one of my customers said. Hey, I have to tell you, Steve, I've been missed as well. You know, I've had phone calls at shop. Phone calls saying, where are you on the radio? How's that? Anyway, moving on, mate. We've got Red Delicious apples. Right, they're from California.
Right.
They're very bright, shiny red with a lovely white interior. And a customer delicately called them, have you got them apples, Steve? I says, which are them? Them Cinderella ones. Isn't that nice? Because they look like the apple that, you know, Cinderella has. Beautiful red apples.
A bit of sunshine in your kitchen, in your fruit bowl this time of year, much needed.
They look lovely. And, you know, they have some mock red delicious apples. But you can tell the true one. They've got on the underside of the apple, where the opposite end of the stalk, you have five little humps, and that proves it's a proper one. There are imposters around that's got six and seven, but if you count five little humps, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Well, there you go. Beware of imposters.
There you go.
You're going to say to that one.
And we've got conference pears. Now, my uptake on conference pears is, you know, it's like eating cardboard, but these are tasty.
Oh, right,
I mean, tasty conference pears. How about that? You know, I can't believe it.
That's
and they're
good
small
news.
And juicy, so, yeah. And then the plums are here, and they're, I don't know, I really don't know what's happening with plums. I don't know whether they're growing them near Isham Power Station or what, but they're like footballs at the moment.
They are
huge, yeah, and juicy. You know,
I do like them chopped up with a bit of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It is just a bit different. And they've got to be big ones to make it worth getting knife out.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But yeah, just chop them up, quarter them up, or eighth, if the size of ones you have, and then put them in with a bit of ice cream. Now, what's your top tip for this week?
Right, well, my top tip is quite a simple one, actually. Now, greengrocers won't mind if you go into him or her and say, could I have a cauliflower with the leaves left on? Savoy's the same, right? Because, you know, in this day and age, when we'd want things to keep, and people only have time to shop maybe once or twice a week, they want to buy the cauliflowers on Saturday, but they're not going to eat it well Friday or whatever, the following week. Keep the leaves on. Keeps forever, Steve. And that goes for any leafy vegetable. Keep the leaves on, it's being fed, and it'll keep forever.
Well, that's top tip, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
It is these times, isn't it?
And we look forward to catching up with you again in a few weeks' time, my good friend.
Brilliant, Steve.
Take care and wrap up warm.
You and Jackie keep safe today, mate.
It's starting to snow now. It's starting to snow. I'm moving. I've been walking up and down as I spoke to you because it is getting rather nippy now. So thanks a lot, Steve. Remind us where your fantastic establishment is.
It's the dead centre of Waterford. Thank you.
There you go. Steve's quality fruiter is in the centre of Waterford. And we'll catch up with you soon. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, Steve.
Brilliant stuff. You're listening to BBC Radio Lancashire. We are live up on the hill in the snow at a special care farm. Much more of that in a moment or two. Now, more music as we go for a stroll around the farm.
You had me hooked again from the minute you sat down. The way you got your lip got my head spinning around. I was putty in your hands. I don't know if I'll have the strength to stand. Ooh, trouble, troublemaker, yeah, that's your middle name. Ooh, I know you're no good, but you're stuck in my brain. And I wanna know, why does it feel so good but hurt so bad? My mind keeps saying run as fast as you can. We'll be right back.
gardening and life outdoors
with Stephen Lowe
on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Ollie Muir's here at BBC Radio Lancashire. We are live on the farm, down on the farm today, a farm with a difference. Tony, tell us more about this care farm and about where the original idea came from to start this establishment.
I've known Carl, who's got autism, for 18 years since I met his mother. So obviously from there I've known him through school, and we've just noticed that once he left school he had very little to do. We can employ someone to sort of take him swimming and occupy his time. Nothing really to give him a direction. That space you have after you leave school, we all have the careers or families or that sort of side, and he hadn't got anything really to fill his time. So during the weekend I'd work on the farm, we saw the benefit that he had, that he's sleeping better, etc. So for a couple of years now, for a few years really, ever since I started working in the NHS again, I've been wanting to sort of make this a proper organisation and get on with it. So about a year and a bit ago I decided, that's it, midlife crisis, I'm just going to do this thing. I've been preached the great age of 45, I thought, and you know, for a year and a bit now we've been going on. And the idea is occupational therapy and keeping people, giving a sort of a purpose. And as you heard earlier today, and the guys absolutely love it, rather than being at home and, say, watching TV, etc., these particular guys want to be out and about, and so it gives them that really something to do.
So if we maybe want to Google you, how do we find you? What's the name of the organisation?
The organisation is My Step Up. That's so mystepup.co.uk. You'll see a few pictures of the farm, a few pictures of what we do. There's a way of contacting on their telephone numbers, etc., and also you can send us an email by info@mystepup.co.uk.
And is it just referral from social workers, that kind of thing? How do people get the loved ones up here to help out?
Some of it's been directly, as some people heard about us and parents or carers have come up. We've had a few directly from social workers saying, I've got someone here who needs to be out and about, wants to be working with animals, wants to be going outside, needs that physical side of their lives. And so we had a mixture, really, but I'd say it's 50-50. In a couple of weeks, we've got the local school, special needs school, Newfield, coming up. They're doing a visit. They've got younger guys there, and they'll be just maybe using our facilities as well. So maybe then there'll be a continuation of 16, 17 onwards, be able to see this is what else you can do, rather than being perhaps at home or going bowling. Death by bowling for a lot of people out there.
I can imagine. I can't. If we've got helping out here, then what's happening here?
We've got Aaron and Tracy. Tracy's just helping Aaron to muck out the chickens, the six chickens that we have here. We've already collected the eggs earlier, and we don't mind. Hopefully you'll enjoy them later. And now what he's doing.
Thank you very much, by the way.
It's no problem at all.
We get a lot more out of school trips these days. Well, we've got Tracy and Aaron. What are you doing here, Aaron, now then? You're working with Tracy. What's your job here? Because before we were horses, weren't we?
Yes. Now this is the chickens now. For mucking out now.
Now that got to be a bit easier, mucking out chickens, than horses, has it?
Yes.
There's not as much muck, is there?
No.
Tell us what you're doing then.
The moment I put a brush in there, any poos in here or any puppy poos in here, take them out.
Right, and then what's next? What do you do next?
I put some food in my kit, this food that Tony's got now in hand. After it's all fresh for straw over the bin, the blue bin over there, put a new fresh in. After it's all done, put water in the chickens. And after it's all done, close the chicken door whilst the thing goes in here. It's a big animal, foxes, goes in there.
So you're stopping the foxes? And protecting the chickens.
Yeah, and in all these foods, some rats in here, the food, but only close the lid, for the rats don't go in there.
Good idea, that. Good idea. I like that. And do you like eggs?
I love eggs.
It's having a good job, because there were plenty in the back there, weren't there?
Yeah. At the moment, every time it closed the lid, was a sweep up the mess on the ground. Somebody is gonna sweep it on the floor to buy back in the stabler, the net at the chickens, the mother in the.
Right, now I've heard that there's been a big project happening where there's been a pond being dug. Is that right?
Yeah.
And is that you that's been digging that pond?
Yeah.
Oof, is it a whopper?
I'm gonna tell you. You're gonna see it now. Over. I'm gonna tell you now to look over here.
Right, well, we have a walk across the farmyard with Aaron and Tony to have a look at the pond. He's taking us across. Good man, good man. Let's find out how the rest of the roads, the traffic and travel are coping across the county. It's 1:45.
Travel you can trust.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
I'm Jess Foley with the latest on the roads. Traffic still moving freely on the motorways, M60, M62 and the M6, all looking good so far this afternoon. In Blackpool, we've got some slow traffic on Whitegate Drive between Hornby Road and Newton Drive. That's the Devonshire Square. And of course, Wigan Warriors are playing the London Broncos in a rugby match at the DW Stadium, which kicks off at 3:00 this afternoon. Do expect some extra traffic on Robin Park Road, Wallgate and Ormskirk Road. Things are looking okay at the moment, but do try and avoid the areas as it will start to get busier as the afternoon moves on. On the public transport, on the First Trans-Pennine Express, we've got delays of up to half an hour between Preston and Carlisle because of overrunning engineering works between Lancaster and Oxenholme Lake District. But if you spot any other problems on the roads, call in if it's safe and legal to do so on 0330 123 0181.
Travel you can trust.
More in 30 minutes.
From BBC Radio Lancashire.
For the very best in country music, join me, Helen Randall, on Sunday afternoons at 2. From Lady Antebellum, right through to the Zac Brown Band.
As she's walking away.
And everything in between. Choose your favourite tracks and artists in the A to Z of country from across the years. It's a little bit of country for the county. Every Sunday from 2 on BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC Radio Lancashire. We've had a walk round the farm here with Aaron. I've got to say, it looks like someone's been creosoting the gate up there. It looks very smart. We've wandered around. There's an open ditch running down this part of the farm, and it comes across the road. And what's this we've got here, Aaron? What's this here?
It's a pond.
It's a pond. Let's go and have a look. We'll have a wander a bit up. So you've got an old railway sleeper at the bottom there. Looks like it was a gate post for a while. And have you been digging in there?
Yes, at the moment it's too cold and wet and damp. And tomorrow, it should be a nice day, summer. You need to put some the water back on that starts raining.
So we get enough rain, don't we?
Yeah, at the moment, these ducks here, it's coming down now, over here.
Oh, look, the ducks are coming.
And these ducks are coming over here, and you're going to put some water on it. And don't forget to get some bread too. Got some bread for the ducks and some chickens at the moment.
Now, are these ducks, are they vicious, or do they peck you, or are they safe?
It's a Strawcombe lash this year. Last week on Monday, I stroked them.
You stroked them last week. Tony, they've kept themselves away, these ducks, haven't they? This is a project that's been a nice, easy one, I guess, for getting a bit of digging going.
Digging out a couple of metres of soil. We've stopped doing it for a few weeks now, purely because the weather's been so cold. It's been pretty damn hard at the ground. But so, like I said, we are trying to do bits of each day, maybe half an hour at the end of the day to sort of finish off, make sure the guys are need to be tired out. I've actually got the exercise. And the ducks are coming over to us now, there's chickens, they can see, they'll walk around, they'll be quite happy. If there's food going, they're quite happy to walk around, but the ducks just sit in a little group and they run away.
They do run away. Your dog here, what's the name of the dog?
Buttons. It's a chocolate Labrador.
Chocolate Labrador. She's lovely. Buttons was rounding up the ducks then.
Yeah, we did notice that. That's not to encourage most of the time, but because we're trying to get the ducks over to us, then she was helping.
helping us out. So you've picked this spot here, and we're hoping, aren't we, Aaron, that we're going to see them in the summer, see the ducks having a bath in there, having a bit of a swim.
Yeah, at the moment you can't for the weather at the moment, anyway.
You're going to have to put something in that bottom end, aren't you, to stop the water just running, because it's going down now, isn't it?
At the moment, it's someone's yard, the farmyard, someone else's.
It's going down, isn't it? How much land have you got here, exactly?
It's 40 acres, which is about 17 hectares.
And you've got, are these your fields that run down here?
Yeah, this is our fields, yeah.
Because you can just see how wet it is at the bottom down there.
It's sodden, like I said, it's not really soaking away, so now you get these streams forming because it's got nowhere to soak to, so... Yeah, part of it is obviously to help those houses down there. If we have a little pond here, then collect some of the water and it'll just hopefully slow things down a little bit. We've got a membrane. We're not that crazy to leave the bricks and somehow magically it's going to stop the water. So we've got a membrane to put on there and we'll just be able to an experiment, see how far that goes, and we'll make it bigger if we need to, really.
Just how much interaction do you get with your neighbours? Because I've been on quite a few farms. I don't think I've ever been on one just as nestled in amongst all the housing estates as you are here. You really are surrounded, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, people don't tend to know that we're here, but like I say, we're just part of our land is nestled up to some normal domestic houses, but the rest of it is open countryside. So we're next to it. Most of the guys here are really friendly. I mean, we sometimes have to talk to people when they sort of want to be, through kind reasons, want to, say, feed the horses, the grass cuttings are not particularly good for them, or want to sort of come and stroke the horses without sort of talking to us, just in case. So they're for their own safety, really, sort of say, that's fine, come and knock on the door first, and then we'll show you around, really. People are naturally going to want to play with the animals or want to see the animals. As long as we do it safely, that sounds a better approach rather than saying, get off my land type rubbish. None of that. If we just talk to people and say, well, for your own safety, come and knock on and we'll show you around properly then. Do they get more out of it, and we make sure that people are safe as well then, so...
I've got to ask you about funding, about going forward. There's funding being cut all over, all across the board. Are you constantly looking for new sources of funding, or are you pretty much securing your position here?
We are basically totally independent. We are a social enterprise, so any profits will go back into the farm. But we basically ask for fees from the guys when they come up as a care fee, and that is, I haven't asked for any grants or nothing, so I've just started as a thrown a little bit of savings and we've gone that way. I didn't want to sort of... start searching for social money, because like I said, I think it's a vulnerability in the future. I'd rather be able to stand on our own feet and then show that the model works, and in the future we'll expand that way. So hopefully guys want to come up, so that proves that we're worthwhile, really, and if people are happy to pay for it as well, that's great.
And I guess that, well, the feedback that we've had today from the parents being that just seeing that kind of smiles is enough, that's, you know, going to encourage more people to come along to just experience the outdoors, and more importantly, do a job that's of some blinking benefit, yeah. You know.
Well, that is the main reason. Rather than just occupying time, we're doing this for... Well, Aaron, you can tell he's actually proud of what he's doing. He's looking forward to doing the next job, rather than perhaps just being occupied and going for a walk somewhere. It's actually something you can plan and think about and, a sense, look forward to. And that's the idea that we... You know, that's the model we're doing. It's a purposeful activity, if you want to be technical. It's the idea that we are doing something which has a future to it, rather than just a one-off... making a card for mum type thing, and then next week doing another bit of plasticine or something. We're doing it as a, you can see things going, see nature obviously going on. We're planning to incubate some of our eggs, and we'll have some ducklings on the way, things like that. So we've got some idea of, you know, see the animals growing really and going on with that.
Well, we heard about from Carol about the incubator. I think that's a really good idea, and again, learning how to nurture and care for things.
Sure. I mean, we've got a good of 18 days or so in the incubation for the chickens, that sort of side, and seeing them each day, turning them, that sort of side. So the idea that I can see a... Hopefully most of the eggs will hatch and we'll see the ducklings, protecting us for them, and then see them grow, see them bigger, yeah. Walking around.
Are you looking forward to that, Aaron? Looking forward to seeing the eggs turn into little chicks and ducks?
First time in this farm to see some chicks.
It'd be nice, that, won't it? A bit of spring in the air.
Yeah, at the moment, I can't wait.
Magic stuff. I can't wait to come back up and see when you've done this pond. Are you going to have it finished for the summer for me?
Yeah. Yeah, oh yes.
Yes, well, we'll be back. We'll take some pictures of it now. We'll put them on our Facebook page, and then we'll come back in the summer, and we'll make sure... I'll be checking on you. Make sure you've done enough digging, all right?
Oh, yes.
Good man. He's a man after me all night. Likes getting stuck in with the spare. More music now here at BBC Radio Lancashire as we go for a stroll back around the farm with Aaron.
Side. He was-
BBC Radio Lancashire. We're live on the farm, a care farm at in Blackburn at Brownhill Farm. Aaron, you're going to finish. We found out you're going to finish the pond tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because the ground's a bit easier for digging. Yeah. Are you digging or are you wheelbarrowing tomorrow then?
I'm going to do some digging tomorrow.
Good man. Good man, indeed. The geese, the ducks, sorry, and the chickens are back over to us. It's brightening up a little bit now here. We can see the hills again, can't we? We couldn't see the hills, could we, before?
No, it's nice and blue over there.
It is, because it was snowing earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We don't mind, though, do we? We don't mind the cold.
No.
No, we just crack on. We just crack on. Next week, we'll be cracking on in a slightly different place. We'll be at Lytham Railway Station, where part of the Britain in Bloom, Northwest in Bloom competition. It's the last kind of grot spot that they're hoping to improve. So we'll be over on the platform. So if you're in Lytham on a Sunday, and let's face it, half of Lancashire seems to be in Lytham on a Sunday, when you go, it's absolutely packed. It's a popular destination. Why not pop along to the railway station and say hello to us? We'd love to see you if you can come along. Don't forget as well, if you've got an event taking place that's outdoors throughout the spring or summer you'd like us to attend, there are lots of dates that have filled up, but there's still plenty available towards the back end of the summer. If you'd like us to come along, get in touch with me, stephen.law@bbc.co.uk. And we'll come along. Or we'll try our very best. If we can't come along, then what we'll do is we'll give you a mention. Thank you to everybody who's been here at the farm. Tony, Aaron, thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
The pleasure's been all mine, and we'll be back to see you in the summer, mate.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Superb stuff. Taking you up to the very best in country music. This is In Excess. I'm going for a warm and a brew, if I'm being honest. It's a little bit nippy. Come on.